Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Wednesday, September 26th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, 81-year-old comedian Bill Cosby was sentenced to 3 to 10 years in a state prison for sexually assaulting a former Temple employee at his home in Montgomery County. He was let off in handcuffs and immediately taken to jail after the sentencing. He was taken to SCI Phoenix, the new prison built next to Greaterford. He will likely be transferred to Camp Hill after a few weeks and then maybe taken to a prison 70 miles outside of Pittsburgh. SCI Laurel Highlands has separate housing units for geriatric prisoners and programs for sex offenders.
So this new prison that he is in is the addition, or the new prison that's, is it right next to Greaterford?
Yeah, right next to
it. Like, right next to it.
I waved to him this morning.
You can wave to Cosby from the
top of Wawa.
All right.
Hey, how you doing, Bill? Welcome to the neighborhood.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's direct. It's on the same property.
All right,
I didn't realize it had a different name.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even know the name of it until I started talking about it this morning. We just called it like Greaterford Part Two.
Yeah, the new Greaterford.
I want to make sure everyone gets their mail.
The punishment made him the first celebrity of the Me Too era to be sent to prison. Cosby declined the opportunity to speak before the sentencing came down, and afterwards sat smiling, laughing, and chatting with his defense team. His wife of 54 years, Camille, was not in the courtroom. Constance smiled broadly upon hearing the punishment and was hugged by others in the courtroom afterwards by Janice Dickinson, a former model who was also accused Cosby of sexual assault. Cosby's lawyers asked that he be allowed to remain free on bail while he appeals his conviction, but the judge cited Cosby's lack of remorse and said he could quite possibly be a danger to the community. The comedian removed his watch, tie, and jacket and walked out in a white dress shirt and red suspenders, his handcuffs in front of him. He must serve a minimum of 3 years before becoming eligible for parole. Philadelphia police and the FBI are looking for two armed robbers behind a crime spree in Philadelphia and neighboring Cheltenham Township. The most recent crime was on Monday at the Boost Mobile store on Frankfort Ave in Philadelphia. Police and federal authorities say the same suspects are now wanted for 20 armed robberies since mid-August. In most cases, their faces are covered. Surveillance video shows multiple pictures of the same two people committing armed heists over the course of the last 5 weeks. They enter with a gun or two drawn and demand money. The FBI is assisting in the investigation because of the multitude of crimes that have crossed jurisdiction lines. Since twice this month, police said that the two struck a Rite Aid at Broad and Cheltenham just outside the city limits. Fortunately, during the 20-incident crime spree, no one was injured. If you recognize the suspects, you're being asked to contact police or the FBI. SEPTA's police took a homeless man into custody just 30 minutes after Philadelphia police identified the man in connection with the slashing of a hotel guest from Montana on the sidewalk across the street from City Hall. Monday night, police say a guest was slashed in the face after a violent encounter with a homeless man on the sidewalk. It happened about 10:30 in the evening when a homeless man approached the hotel guest who was outside smoking a cigarette. It happened at the Marriott Residence Inn. He asked for a cigarette and some cash, according to police. The hotel guest refused, and an argument ensued. After the two exchanged words, the guest told the homeless man to take a hike. Police say the homeless man pulled out what was believed to be a box cutter and slashed the victim in the face.
Jeez.
The victim was taken to the hospital, where he received more than 45 stitches for the injury and was listed in stable condition. His injuries may require plastic surgery in the future. On Tuesday, police stepped up patrol. They were able to identify the homeless man who frequents the area, and SEPTA police arrested him within 30 minutes. In sports this morning, the Phillies lost their sixth game in a row last night, falling 10-3 to the Rockies in Colorado. David Dahl went 3-for-5 on the night and homered for a second straight game as the Rockies moved into the final National League wildcard spot with the win. The Phillies, meanwhile, fell under 500 for the first time since April, and the six-game losing streak is their longest of the season. The series continues tonight. Nick Pivetta gets the start. Game time is at 8:40. The Sixers were forced to postpone last night's blue-white scrimmage because of weather-related issues that have impacted the arena. There were issues due to humidity and moisture on the floor with heavy rain in the area. The team said it decided to postpone the event due to an abundance of caution for player safety. The team is set to open its preseason on Friday at the Wells Fargo Center against Melbourne United. The Union, who only have 5 games left in regular season, are in 5th place in the Eastern Conference and are on the road tonight with a game in Houston against the Dynamo. Game time is at 8 o'clock. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. We got a lot more in store for you today. We have a secret text word, which is what we do on Wednesdays. Very simple. You text this word secret to 39333, then we send a special word back to you later on. We ask you to call in with that, and the designated caller today will win 4 movie tickets from Fandango. So you'll be good to go for whatever movie you want to see in the near future. You can head to Fandango and reserve tickets to see Night School, Smallfoot, and Hellfest. And we will also grab a random texter and give away tickets that way as well. We are going to go live on Fox Good Day this morning. We have birthday bucks, $1,000, your opportunity to win once again today, 8 a.m. We'll give you the word that you need to know. And we also have a hottie cam this morning, Autumn, from our Totally Office calendar, the month of September, representing, and she'll be in today.
How about that?
Absolutely. And we're prepping for our next calendar as we speak. So
it's unbelievable. It never stops.
We will have Autumn in, and we'll let you know when she arrives. We also have a meet and eat today, and we will have some giveaways in conjunction with that. And Casey, yay, along with the MM Army, will be at Stinger's Waterfront in Delco tomorrow night. And it's your chance to stop by. And this is the Bud Light Philly tour. And, of course, you guys give away tickets every time one of these leave.
Yes, my first time out this year, so I'm excited. And I don't have to leave Delco, and that's the best.
It's perfect. That's, and you've had a great time with these events, right? They're always good.
Yeah,
Eagles,
show
up. Eagles-Panthers tickets to give away and an autographed Nelson Aguilar helmet. Courtesy of Bud Light. So some good stuff. Stop out and see Casey, and we'll do some giveaways when those guys stop in a little bit later on this morning. I know I have some. Oh, you know what I should do right now, because Friday is the first stop on the Preston and Steve Cream of the Scream. Dorney Park is the first location that we're headed to, and from 6 to 8 p.m., you can come and hang. You can stay as long as you want.
Yes.
It'll close, actually. The show members will be there from 6 to 8, but we're going to bring 100 guests along with us. Does that include you? Let's find out now. We'll take 8 callers at 215-263-WMMR. These tickets are good for Friday, by the way, this coming Friday.
And the weather's going to turn more favorable by Friday, right?
It's looking better by Friday night, yeah. So don't forget, Friday and Saturday nights through October 27th is the Halloween Haunt at Dorney. They transform into Halloween Haunt featuring haunted mazes, scare zones, rides, and monsters prowling the park. Fear is waiting for you at Dorney Park. You can go to DorneyPark.com/haunt for discount tickets. And as you said before, Steve, the rides. The roller coasters.
I love it.
And they're usually shorter lines. It's a really good time. So let's get you on board, 8 callers, and we'll take care of you. We're going to take a break. We will come back in just a moment or two, and we will dive into the entertainment report along with another giveaway and a stupid question. Can you handle all this today? I think you can. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love and ready to get engaged? Visit Steven Singer Jewelers. Whether your budget is $500 or $5,000, Steven's Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring Collection has your perfect ring at the perfect price. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's give some away, all right? We have a stupid question, a pair of tickets to Six Flags to give away, and this is their Fright Fest with the new terror trails and scare zones and all that stuff. And the question that we're going to go with this morning, okay, what year was the Hershey's chocolate bar with almonds first produced? 215-263-WMMR. What year was the Hershey's chocolate bar with almonds first produced, according to my source here? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. There's just a handful of birthdays for today, being Wednesday, September 26th, at least that I saw. Linda Hamilton is one of those.
Ah, she's in the new Terminator film. They brought her back.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
So they're doing kind of a real return to the old flavor of the Terminator movies. Of course, she was in the first one and the second one. Mm-hmm. And she was also in, but they show Beauty and the Beast.
That's right. And the second one is where she really, everybody's like, whoa.
She's jacked up. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was great.
Turned into a badass. So she is celebrating her 62nd birthday today. So she's playing Sarah Connor again?
Yeah, she's playing Sarah Connor again.
Okay. Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, you just reported about her. Cancer's returned, right?
Yeah, yeah. She is, and she's turning 70 years old today, which is a big one for her, man.
She looks great.
Yeah, she does look really good, and just a long time boyhood crush.
Oh, man, I bought an album without ever hearing the music.
Really?
She's like, just a close-up of her face. I think she was in a pond or something.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta own this.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So she's 70 today. James Caviezel, the actor who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, and he's been in a lot of other movies as well, celebrates his 50th birthday today. And then the last birthday, I saw Serena Williams.
Serena Williams.
Serena is celebrating her 37th. Didn't she and Venus have a match last year or something like that?
I think they did, yeah.
Well, actually, they faced off against each other in the U.S. Open as well.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's funny because Venus, when she came onto the scene, was like,
oh, my God.
Unstoppable.
Yeah.
And then Serena little sister on. Shows up.
Son of a bitch.
You're stoppable.
Yep. Well, the most telling of footage to know how powerful she is that the most recent tennis match where she went nuts.
Yeah.
Because she was pissed off at the linesman.
It just reminds me of.
Took her tennis racket. Boom! I mean, destroyed it in one shot.
Yeah. It would take a lot, several blows for
boom,
me.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, yeah.
Damn thing, why would it break?
And she just
one shot.
Bam.
Yeah. It just reminds me of D in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the episode where they play the Family Feud. And when, you know what I'm talking about, when she hits.
Oh, it's awesome.
The buzzer.
She hits the buzzer. Yeah, it explodes. Yeah.
And it just destroys. So Serena is turning 37 years old today. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this. What year was the Hershey's chocolate bar with almonds first produced? 215-263 WMMR, the number. And I'm going to go to Stuart and check and see if he knows the answer. Hey, Stuart, good morning.
Durka.
Same to you, sir. So do me a favor and tell me, what year did the Hershey's chocolate bar with almonds first come out?
What is 1908?
Very well done.
1908, wow.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that old, right?
No.
So it's been around for a long time. It's my favorite amongst the Hershey collective. And if you go, the only place we've been able to find these is actually in Hershey, Pennsylvania, is the Hershey's, the milk chocolate with almonds, gold. They're big.
Okay, am I
They're
delusional?
Huge.
Do they not make a dark chocolate with almonds?
I don't know, but they should.
They should, right?
They make dark chocolate with almond kisses, maybe?
But maybe that's what I'm...
These are the ones. Yeah, these are the Hershey's golden almonds. Oh, my God. Rochelle and I stock up when we go to Hershey.
It's damn good stuff.
And we bring those back.
So
they're so yummy.
Steve, I believe that the dark nuggets only come in nugget form.
In nugget form. I will take a nugget, Nick.
Yeah. Okay.
I will simply tape them together into one long bar.
I don't see the bars themselves.
So doesn't matter.
Okay.
Stuart got it right, and we have a pair of tickets for Six Flags Fright Fest with new terror trails and scare zones, including the all-new maze from the movie Hellfest. And they're open weekends for October 31st for a limited time. Save 40% on tickets at SixFlags.com. You can go to Six Flags Fright Fest and check it all out. Big thrills, big fright. We will lead with Kathy's lead story as well in the news, because Bill Cosby, it's all over. He's been sentenced to 3 to 10 years in state prison for sexual assault. The 81-year-old comedian is now officially classified as a sexually violent predator.
How about... we've been marveling over the history of Bill Cosby, and you see him referred to as the father of the nation and all, you know, the America's dad and all this stuff. What a massive fall from grace.
Seriously.
20 years ago, if somebody would have told you.
No.
Bill Cosby
impossible.
Would be going to prison for rape.
Yeah. No. And be labeled as a violent sexual predator.
Yeah.
And I think this is my opinion. I think this is going to kill him. Like, I think he's going to, I don't think he's going to come out of jail. I think being 81 years old, I mean, he is in, his health is declining. He, you know, is not in the best of health. I think sitting in a prison, I think that's what's going to get him.
Very telling, though, Kathy, he's ordered a small rock hammer and a large poster of Pam Grier.
So. Wow.
You know Preston, right?
Yes.
You know what's going to happen.
I think so, man.
If history's told us anything.
Shawshank. The classification means that he will be legally required to undergo counseling for life, and he will be listed on a sex offender registry.
He was though, Kathy, going in, he was reportedly chuckling with some of the corrections officers. And
I'm wondering if that is like a nervous habit, because after they read the sentence and he knew he was going to prison, he was also smiling and laughing with his lawyers. And the judge cited that as part of the reason. Like, he showed
he
no
didn't see
remorse.
No, yeah,
like,
right.
I don't know what that is, if he's actually feeling happy right now or if it's a nervous habit, but whatever it was, somebody should have told him to knock it the hell off.
Mm. Well, keep in mind, there's going to be appeals.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be busy trying to fight this.
There'll be a lot of visitors. You're exactly right.
I don't think it's going to kill him, Kath. I mean,
they wouldn't let him out. Like, they asked if he could be out on bail until the appeal was.
Do you know the thing also, Kathy, we talked about this, and it's the nature of the crime. The crime was that he has been convicted of is of drugging someone to rape them.
Yeah.
Which makes him very predatorial, and it's something that they have to be concerned about. And now, listen, you're saying he's a limited sight, he's 81, but still, even out of deference to the victims, you have to show that you're serious with the punishment.
And not only that, let's say that they did let him go out, and all of a sudden he, this was the last straw. He grabs a gun,
kills
himself, or hurts somebody else, and then it's on the court, and they can't have that. They can't take that risk. You can't predict, no matter how much someone has projected in their lifestyle or in their lifetime, what they are, that this might not make them snap.
Well, case in point, what we thought he was and what he turned out to be, according to the law.
So he declined to make a statement when Judge Stephen O'Neill gave him the opportunity. His request for bail pending appeal was denied, and he was let out of the courtroom in handcuffs, as Kathy was saying. Upon sentencing, the judge said, "Mr. Cosby, you took her beautiful, healthy young spirit and crushed it." He told Constan that he had heard the very clear impact that the assault had on her life. In an impact statement made public Tuesday, she said, "To truly understand the impact that the sexual assault has had on my life, you have to understand the person that I was before it happened. The assault caused her to stop eating, sleeping, and socializing," she had said. Cosby's wife, Camille, was not present at the sentencing, though two of his accusers, Lily Bernard and Janice Dickinson, were there.
Yes.
And they hugged afterwards, the whole thing. So he's headed over to the new prison by Greaterford now.
What's the name of it?
It's STI, I think is what they call it.
SCI. All of the state prisons are SCI, and then they have a name after it. So it's
State Correctional Institution,
It's SCI Phoenix.
Phoenix, okay.
Yeah.
And then they may move him to, you guys were saying, a facility that caters towards older prisoners, possibly?
Yes, it's just outside of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so normally they move them to, after Greaterford, they go to Camp Hill, which I'm not exactly sure where that is. And then from there, they go to their, quote, home prison. So I'm not sure if they're going to take him.
Got to be exciting when you're finally going to your forever home prison.
Right? I don't know if they're going to take him to Camp Hill or another facility, or if they're just going to send him. But I think it was called Laurel Highlands is where they think. And nobody has said this, but they're just guessing that maybe that's where he'll go because there's a geriatrics unit there.
Yeah, and it caters to, because he does have limitations because of his eyesight.
It's a SCI Boca Raton.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to go between the heavy stuff and the light stuff. We're going to slalom a little bit.
Ebony and Ivory live together.
A little bit of everything. Chrissy Teigen and John Legend totally had sex on the first date.
By the way, did you hear, and is this true? And correct me if I'm wrong. Now, about the name pronunciation thing, I've been saying Teigen forever. She now says it's Teigen?
Oh, I don't know.
Have you heard that?
No.
All right, if we can do some research on that. Because I say shut up to that.
So she appeared on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, and the 32-year-old confessed, "I closed the deal the first night."
How soon between you and Rochelle?
There's contention.
With me too. And it was the second date, and that gets yes, it was.
Listen, I know she at least touched it the first night.
Yeah,
But I think we had full on intercourse.
And how many years you've been married?
It's coming up on 20,
and it all works out just
20
fine.
20 years.
Yeah. So. It wasn't like it was a liability.
She doesn't think we did it that first night. So anyhow,
in fact, I remember some of the I hope you don't think less than me. On the contrary.
You're tops.
Yeah. You're my favorite person.
Yes,
now.
I'm going to marry you and stay so for decades.
So she said she closed the deal the first night. They met on the set of his 2007 music video for Stereo. She said, we were on a music video set all day together, and then I went to one of his shows, and then, yeah, she said.
Oh, if you're John Legend and you're behind the piano and you break into one of those John Legend ballads.
Deal, right?
Talk about a panty dropper.
Gotta be.
I'd take my panties off.
Later, Tegan took to Twitter to respond to a troll who claimed that her new short bob doesn't flatter her facial shape.
Okay.
The troll had said, you look beautiful, but you should grow your hair long again.
Listen, I think, you know, you should, the bob ruins the symmetry of your face.
Girls with round faces should have short hair, should not have a short hair like that. It makes your face look huge. Been there, believe me, long hair. So fans rallied to her defense, and then Tegan clinched it, writing, Riley, honestly, wow, thank you, because when I wake up each morning, I wonder what the commenter would do, and then I try to make her happy. So this was a huge mistake on my part. So I guess she thinks that the haircut was wrong.
Huh.
Okay.
Also, to the pronunciation of her name, it is Tegan. Apparently, she was on Fallon the other night and said that, but she also said she doesn't really care.
Okay. How many years?
Here's an explanation. Jay is going to tell you about it. Hi, Jay. Good morning.
How you doing, guys?
Good. So you're weighing in on this Chrissy Teigen thing.
Yeah, it's a TMZ thing, and like you said, all the news media are saying her mother finally told her, it's pronounced Tegan.
It is Tegan.
Her mother finally told her.
Yeah, you think she would have told her when she was younger. But
yeah, right. You know. Exactly. So it was her mom
so
said, by the way.
I think I would have just kept it at that point.
Yes.
No, I think she's just saying, you know, that her mom had said, you know, we've been pronouncing it wrong all these
the
years.
Whole time.
Yeah, or whatever. So, I don't know. Does it matter?
Hell.
Nah. Let's move on.
We're bigger than that.
Let's go to something heavier. Southern Charm star Thomas Ravenel.
Yeah, your favorite.
Was arrested in South Carolina Tuesday and charged with assault and battery in the second degree. He left the Bravo show last month after multiple women came forward accusing him of sexual misconduct. At the time, he said, I'm not doing the show anymore. I'm in the contract. They have the right to fictionalize your story. They took advantage of me. I decided I've got too much to lose and informed them that I'm not coming back. But he was arrested and charged.
That's another reason why he left the series.
Mm-hmm. Yep, might be. Hey, Will Smith is facing his fears for his 50th birthday, or he did. The actor celebrated half a century on Earth Tuesday by bungee jumping out of a helicopter over the Grand Canyon while streaming the feat on his YouTube channel.
Which is pretty cool.
It was hosted by Alfonso Ribeiro, and I think we have some clips of this.
We do. We have him talking with Alfonso just prior to the jump and his anticipation.
His family was also on hand for the 1,000-foot leap, including mom Caroline, wife Jada Pinkett, and kids Trey, Jaden, and Willow. So here is him talking to me.
How do you feel right now knowing that you are right here, you are ready to do something that you said you were going to do?
Well, here's what happens in life, Alfonso.
Okay.
I say a lot of things I don't mean. They challenge me to heli bungee. And I was reacting to, yo, don't nobody challenge me to nothing. I'm from Philly, son. I was like, oh, they gonna challenge me to heli bungee. Oh, heli bungee. How about heli bungee over the Grand Canyon, son?
Did you feel like that was a good thing to do in this case?
As I approach the canyon.
Yes.
There are things that I'm realizing I probably should have thought about before.
What would some of those things be?
You know, just that is stupid.
So the stunt was live streamed to raise awareness and donations for Global Citizens Education Campaigns. The organization is known for its commitment to end extreme poverty by 2030. We have some more of that. This is him as he's jumping out. And he's got a camera. Is he holding the camera while he's doing it?
He's holding a camera. I think the audio we're hearing is from below, everyone witnessing the countdown and him jumping out.
Right, here we go.
Snapback was going to be so intense that it threw him right back into the helicopter blades. Could you imagine? Like, you land, you're fine, because you've seen it. Like, people come back up and they smash into, like, the bottom of the bridge or whatever.
Has that happened?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure, I think.
No, I've never seen that.
I think it has.
I've never seen that happen.
But I think the thing flying back up into the blades, it happens all the time.
You'd think they'd stop doing it. Yeah,
I know, especially when you have celebrities of this impact. Yeah, but, Preston, okay, here's a question though I would ask all of you. On that, it's 1,000 feet, he's jumping out on the bungee cord, okay, and it snaps down and does the deal.
Uh-huh.
Do you, if you have the choice to be facing down or up, what do you do?
Well, I've done it before. I did it hanging from my ankles.
Okay.
So I had no choice but to face down.
Down, yeah, yeah.
And it scared the living crap out
did
of me.
Did it? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What is that sensation like?
I'm going to
die. At the very, very, very end, where right before you're about to be hoisted back up into the helicopter blade.
Well, it slows you down quickly. Okay. You know, not as quick as... now, you guys have jumped out of a plane before, so, mm-hmm. you know, when the chute opens... That really jerks you hard. This is not quite as hard as that, but it's still like, you know, you feel your tonsils come forward in your mouth.
Especially if you're hanging by your feet.
But what you don't expect is how high you get shot back up. So I did the jump. I get to the bottom like, oh, my God, I lived. And then, oh, my God, I'm going back up again.
Is that worse?
And the second fall, it's not worse, but it's another big fall on your way down that second time you come out of that first spring back up. So
wow.
Apparently,
I'm thinking of Joe Dirt, where he gets hoisted back into the bottom of the bridge.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm seeing some text
messages.
We're
just watching footage of somebody.
Yeah, I don't think they'd do it if that happened regularly, and I'm not even sure
by the way, there's a chance you're going to hit the bridge.
Yes.
And sign this waiver. It absolves us if you get thrown back up into the spinning blades of the helicopter.
Accidents happen.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to do this now.
Smith decided to perform the jump as a way to overcome fears after previously being afraid to walk near the edge of the canyon when visiting with his family when he was young.
I'm afraid of overcoming fears.
Are you?
Yeah.
Then we need to overcome that.
I know. That's just the first step.
Listen, I know. There's a couple things like that I've done just to
do
make
it.
Myself face a fear.
It's important to do that in life.
And
this is Joe Dirt we're watching, by the way.
But I did it once, and that's enough. Yeah, we're watching this video from the movie Joe Dirt, and
that actually happened.
So anyhow, maybe there's a lot of things in Joe Dirt.
Sure, maybe we missed a lot. There were a lot of life lessons that we missed out on.
I mean, there's the poop asteroid, right? That's
Joe Dirt
as well.
That's Joe Dirt.
Yeah. So anyhow, he actually, in anticipation of this, he posted a video of his first time bungee jumping in Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe.
Wow.
Where he was shocked to learn that he'd only have a cord and some towels to protect him. So he did that to celebrate his 50th birthday. That's pretty. I wish I would have thought of something outrageous
like
to
that.
Do for a milestone birthday, but whatever.
You had a nice party.
I did have a nice party. So now another heavy story. We're going to go back and forth.
Okay.
Top Chef host and model Padma Lakshmi.
Yes.
Is opening up about being raped when she was 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God.
In an op-ed for the New York Times, she discusses being assaulted by an older boyfriend. She said, while we were talking, I was so tired that I lay in the bed and fell asleep. Next thing I remember, I was waking up to a very sharp stabbing pain, like a knife blade between my legs. He was on top of me. I asked, what are you doing? He said, it'll only hurt for a while. She said, please don't do this. And I screamed. She says that... she was moved to open up in light of sexual assault allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, saying that she didn't report the attack either. And several leaders have said the allegations couldn't be true because they were not reported. So that's why she's opening up about that.
She doesn't pull any punches either. I read it yesterday. It's really open and seems incredibly honest and heartfelt. So it's a good read. In an interesting way.
Yep. Hey, we were hoping for better for our friend Nikki Glaser, who's been here in the studio. But
yes.
She was the first one eliminated off of Dancing with the Stars.
I don't think that's... Listen, I watched her first dance, she looks great, man. She's a sexy woman, and she's a talented woman.
Yeah.
But you have some people on that show, and that's my issue with this show in general. You have a lot of people who are already sort of programmed to dance.
Yeah.
Like Mary Lou Retton is an Olympian who's... had to kind of dance in some of her routines.
I came across her on dancing last night, Mary Lou Retton. She walks out and she just does the splits immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, there you go. Oh. She's probably going to win the whole thing.
I don't know about no fair. This girl's no good.
She's not very good. We're watching
video. She's fine.
No, she's not.
But listen, they got to get rid of somebody. You haven't seen the other ones. You have to compare it to the other people.
She's not horrific.
on the...
She looks fine. Now, she also isn't G-rated like the rest of... You know, yeah, like, that's, I watched
that's
her,
true.
I watched her interview yesterday, and she had said something like...
That end pose was the only thing that looked good.
She, whatever she said, the words sounded like rough sex.
Yeah.
And she did, but she didn't say rough sex. And then Tom Bergeron was like, well, wait a second. She's like, no, that's not what I said. But I did have that last night. And then, you know, he was like, okay.
And Tom Bergeron's a guy who can roll with it.
Yes. Yeah,
but this show is definitely supposed to be
family friendly.
Family friendly. Yeah.
They think it's kind of a conspiracy that they voted her off because she was dirty.
Because she said rough sex.
No, well, I'm not saying that. Oh, okay. I'm just.
A lot of times, though, there is a lamb for the slaughter that they. To me, yeah, this is the perfect position to be in, though. If you know you're not going to win it, if you know there's not a rat's ass chance, you still come back for all the specialty shows.
Yeah.
You come back at the end, and now you're part of the Dancing with the Stars family.
She's really cute.
She is.
So after watching the five dancing duos perform in the second hour of the episode, it was announced that she was eliminated. And Sevchenko, was that her?
Sevchenko said.
Artem, I don't know who that is.
He's the dancer, right?
I'm assuming. She said, it sucks. I'm not going to lie. I really, really like doing this show. And I really had such a great time. And I hope that it just provided that proved that I did the scariest thing I've ever done, and I tried my best. So, but she's out of there. But like you said, they'll have her back on.
She's golden now.
Let's see. Ryan Reynolds, Aviation Gin, is taking to the skies. Aviation will be available on Virgin Atlantic flights, and select passengers on September 30th will be treated to a mixology experience courtesy of several celebrity bartenders. Reynolds and Virgin Atlantic founder Sir Richard Branson introduced the collab in funny new spot with the promise of more co-branded digital content to come.
You know the way this worked for George Clooney with the with his booze?
Hornitos. Yeah.
And this is for Ryan Reynolds. This is going to be huge. Well, aren't you doing, haven't people contacted you? Weren't we going to have a specialty Preston Elliott?
I was working on it, but I haven't heard anything yet.
So I mean, come on.
We'll see. Hey, by the way, have you guys ever flown on Virgin before?
Yeah.
Is it pretty cool?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, to and from L.A., and it's just sort of like a step above.
Okay.
You know, and it there are airlines that'll get you where you need to go, and you're okay. And this one, they just take a little bit more care.
Okay.
They love to fly in at shows, Preston.
They do. That's yes, they do.
Delta.
That was Delta?
Yeah.
Hey, the five main stars of This Is Us are getting hefty raises ahead of the NBC drama season 3 return.
And hopefully that'll keep them all together.
This Is Us currently is the network's number one drama. Stars Milo Ventimiglia, Mandy Moore, Sterling K. Brown, Chrissy Metz, and Justin Hartley will see their per-episode salary jump to $250,000 per episode.
It's the number one drama on television, and they're all getting hefty pay raises.
Season 3, which returned last night, consisted of 18 episodes, bringing their total haul to $4.5 million this season.
You watch it.
Does that include, I don't know his name, but the guy that plays the father? Does anybody know his name?
Don't know.
Milo Ventimiglia?
Is that him?
Jack Milo is who he plays.
Yeah, so, okay, so he's included
Milo?
In that.
Okay.
So Milo he's included or Milo. In that.
Why wouldn't he be, though?
Because he's dead.
Yeah, but he...
He's still in every episode,
yeah,
though, right?
Yeah, it's all flashbacks, though.
Well, I know, but I mean, they just revealed, you know, how he died and all of that, so, you know, people weren't sure if he was going to be coming back.
Preston, he was bungee jumping, and he got thrown back up into the spinning blades. It was so...
Tragic.
No one could have predicted it.
That is unpredictable.
That's tragic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of
moment of joy. It's kind of unoriginal.
I mean, didn't they not see Joe Dirt? I mean...
Joe Dirt was a bridge man.
I know, but whole it's the same idea.
Same concept.
Yeah.
Just a new spin on it.
Literally.
Yeah. The Stars didn't start out with level playing fields. Ventimiglia, by the way, made $115,000 per episode, while Hartley earned $75,000 and Metz earned $40,000, which, by the way, Chrissy Metz had 81 cents in her bank account when she booked the show.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Making this coup especially notable for her. So that's great. I love hearing that.
Well, my wife loves the show. A lot of people binge this show. And now there's a new one that I think it premiered last night on ABC or tonight.
It did.
Did you watch it?
Last night. No, I didn't watch it, but...
Oh, you were busy.
I certainly have it.
All right.
The family drama created by Dan Fogelman averaged a 5.4 rating in the coveted 1849 demo 7 days later. And that's nearly double NBC's number two scripted series, Will and Grace.
By the way, just a heads up, we're talking premiering TV shows. The Goldbergs tonight they go to Atlantic City, and it's a 16 Candles riff.
Yeah, correct. I'm looking forward to another season with those guys. So the relatable reason that Khloe Kardashian wishes she were still pregnant is not eating anything you want without judgment. She told her Twitter followers that the real reason she misses being pregnant is that she misses not having to show up for everything.
I miss not having to show up for everything. L-O-L.
She said, I miss being pregnant for a few reasons, but I really miss being pregnant because I used to have an excuse to be antisocial and go to bed early and not feel any type of way.
Gotta run, ta-ta.
Is that her, Nick?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know if these are recent photos or not, but they're very sexy.
Doesn't look like her.
Wow. It's a picture of her on Instagram that's, very un-Chloe-like.
Preston.
Yeah.
I like it.
That actually kind of scared me when I heard my voice.
I'm sorry. I do that. I frighten people. Hey, why don't you slide into my DMs?
Yeah.
They're huge. It's like the channel.
Using the kids as an excuse to get out of doing stuff is a fantastic advantage of having children, though.
Like, I use the same excuse, but people know immediately.
Yeah, you don't have kids. But, like, you know, your kid is sick or your kid's got a soccer game or
you got to pick them up.
You got to pick them up, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then just saying, I can't make it.
Kardashian welcomed True Thompson with boyfriend Tristan in April.
Tristan and True.
Frequently posts about motherhood. Followers of the Kardashian sisters have even seen her Wee Ones photo shoots with cousins Stormy and Chicago.
So these names.
You will have to follow her.
Chicago!
Well, she looks pretty amazing, actually.
There are times...
Nick is scrolling through these pictures.
And yet, they had the footage of her on the beach with this impossibly large ass, and it was...
Yeah.
No three photos of her look the same.
And you know what? How tall is she?
She's like 5'10".
Okay, I thought she was
It up for the grizzly bear status.
Yeah. I mean, just in comparison to the other girls.
She's bigger.
She towers over him, so I can see that. Martin Sheen attended an event benefiting the People Concern Monday. And while there, the 78-year-old told Us Weekly that he takes philanthropy personally in light of his 53-year-old son Charlie Sheen's struggles with addiction. He said the best way to heal...
I love you, Daddy. Can we go get some ice cream? It's freaking great.
Oh, God.
This is my son, ladies and gentlemen. This is my daddy.
It would be great if he and Cowper hung out.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm thick. I'm sick, too. I've got problems in my hair. I've got Orlok's blood. Your turn.
He said, the best way to heal is to help healing someone else, and it takes one to know one, so you can appreciate that someone's going through what someone's going through if you've gone there yourself.
Takes one to know one.
He said, reflecting on how his family situation has made him more connected to public service.
Do you think that Martin Short lavishes the attention on Emilio Estevez, you know, his other son, because... He's got it all together.
Maybe. To some extent. Yeah. I can't. I can see that, you know, Charlie Sheen's lifestyle, even if it's your son, is going to distance you a little bit.
It
you
just
know?
Can't help but. I mean, yeah. it's holy alien. I mean, you have Martin Sheen going on these religious walks and these, you know, he's always searching inward and he's an activist and whatever he's involved with.
Remember we had both Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez here in our studio.
Was that not cool?
That was so cool. And that's one I kind of overlook a little bit about how awesome that was to meet those guys in person.
And by the way, you know, they were in here and, you know, as is always the edict, the handlers say they don't want to, he doesn't want to talk about other stuff. And we had him talking about the West Wing and other shows. And they, of course they do.
When was that?
They were from 2010.
You don't remember
that?
Man,
I was here.
Yeah,
yes.
You were here.
You don't remember?
I'll show you a picture.
Eight years ago.
Not one bit. That was a long time ago.
Eight years. Yeah. But they were promoting a movie called The Way. It's a great movie.
I enjoyed it. It's really good.
But Steve, like to your point about Martin's relationship with Emilio, it seemed like they were peers. Like Emilio had grown
up.
And he was a director and he wrote that movie and they were on the same playing field. Whereas with Charlie.
Can we go for ice cream, Danny? I like Rocky Road. Yeah, I'll get you. Can I have a cone for my
my son?
Son, got on my shirt, Daddy. Oh no,
and a napkin, please. One of the greatest energies of addiction is the ego, he said, and it gets in the way of everything. When you start serving others, then the ego is removed from the equation.
Is that what that word is? I thought it was ego.
Lego.
Lego, my ego.
So let's do one final story. Let's do this, because Casey, I know you watch this. Netflix is slated part two of Making a Murderer for October 19th.
Okay.
The second chapter will continue to chronicle the journey of Stephen Avery, from DNA exoneree and reformer to convicted murderer. It got too long for me.
Did it? Yeah.
I started know a lot of people to watch it.
Love it.
I watched a few episodes, and I'm like... And now they're doing a whole second season on it.
I don't know how they can get a whole second season out of it. Yeah,
do you know what's happened? Do you watch it, Nick?
I did. I watched the whole thing as well. And they told the story.
Yeah.
You know, and like, there were some interest. There was a lot of interest right after it premiered as to what happened next. But basically, what happens next can kind of be summed up in one or two episodes.
Yeah, they were milking it, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right, so the...
That's not right.
Writers... Writers and directors Laura Ricciardi and Moira Demos said, building on part one, which documented the experience of the accused, in part two, we have chronicled the experience of the convicted and imprisoned, too many serving life sentences for crimes they maintain they did not commit. We are thrilled to be able to share this new phase of the journey with viewers.
I mean, honestly, I'd rather follow the co-defendant, his nephew.
Dassey? Brandon Dassey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's, you know, though, this, and I was thinking about this the other day, the way television is now and the wealth of stuff available has made me really extra ADD. If I'm not hooked in a major way quickly, I'm passing.
Oh, I started watching a show that Chuck and Kathy had been talking about for a while, Afflicted.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything for me. You know, it was just one of those deals where I was like, nope.
Castle Rock, I tapped out on.
You went into it like that.
I did not.
Yeah, Castle Rock, Steve, I had mentioned it to check it out, and I know you bailed on it. I stuck with it, and the final episode left me unsatisfied.
Really?
Unfortunately.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
But
I watched an entire season of it, so if it comes around again, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Keep it going a little bit. So anyhow, we're ready for clips. Here we go. American Horror Story has interwoven the thrilling plot threads and characters from the past here. Evan Peters talks about how his past evil characters had developed into villains.
They had these villains, but they're these guys who are you know, good guys who just have horrible stuff happen to them. Then it just sends them over to this next evil lair.
A new episode of American Horror Story airs tonight, 10 p.m. on FX.
It's more American Weird Story.
Okay.
It, for the first season, first and part of the second season, it was straight up a horror. Now it just tries to out-weird itself every season, and it's well-made. It's just not what I would call horror.
Here's the next clip. Modern Family has committed to a major plot twist this season. Viewers can anticipate a sudden death of a major character.
No.
Here Eric Stone Street talks about how great of friends the cast has come to be.
We've gotten to be such good friends, and we got so lucky with Modern Family and everybody on it that we all get along. Ed O'Neill sets the tone for the show and always has. He's just a laid-back, cool guy. And Sophia and Ty and Julie, we're all just... You know, good friend.
Thank you. Man, Nick just pulled up a picture of the entire cast.
Yeah. You can't lose anyone.
You can't lose anybody. They're all great on that show. Interesting.
I love that couple, too. I love Mitch and Cam.
Oh, my God. They're hilarious.
They're just, everyone is hilarious, though. But they, the way they play off of just common tropes and turn them on their ear.
Yeah.
It's just, it's hilarious.
Yeah, okay. Well, we will see. Modern Family Season 10 premiere.
No one can die!
Airs tonight at 9 p.m. on ABC, and I don't know when in the season they are going to axe somebody, but that's the word. And that's what I have for you in the Entertainment Report this morning. We will take a break. We're going live on Fox Good Day this morning. We have $1,000 yet again to give away with MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. We have a Calendar Girl Hottie Cam this morning. We got a secret text word. Text word secret 3933. We got some movie tickets from Fandango to give away there. And a bunch of other stuff, too. So let's break. Come back in a moment. And keep it moving, friends.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Weekly Rush, a video highlights compilation gleaned from an entire week's worth of laughs. Available now in the Get Local section of Xfinity On Demand.
Barf. If someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
Harumph.
Yeah, man.
I agree. Hey, I want to thank Stinger's Waterfront for being here this morning because their chili was essential to soaking up the leftover beer in my blood.
Really?
Last night. Yes, I needed that. And it was very, very nice. So thank you, guys. And speaking of beer, the 2018 Bud Light Philly Tour is taking over Stinger's tomorrow night from 7 to 9. Casey will be there with the MM Army. And you can stop in and your chance to win some Eagles tickets and more. 7 to 9 p.m. They're at 401 South Swarthmore Avenue or Swarthmore.
Or Swarthmore.
Or Swarthmore.
People get a real stick up. I say Swarthmore, but people get a real stick up their ass.
Well, what do people in that town say?
I mean, I grew up in Wallingford Swarthmore School District. We've always said Swarthmore.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about we ask
they say Rutledge.
How do you pronounce it?
Swarthmore.
Swarthmore. Yeah. All right. Yeah. There's an R in there, you know.
I know.
But they skip over that. Swarthmore in Delco. Ridley Park. Just make them happy.
Swarthmore is the nice part of Delco, though.
You can go to WMMR.com/Philly to learn more, but Casey's going to be there tomorrow night. So we have to hear about this little adventure that Kathy's family has been going through the past couple of days.
Yeah, not so fun the past couple of days.
Yeah, man. You really scared us with that text the other night.
Well, we were really scared. So I actually said to Preston today, I'm like, what's today? He's like, it's Wednesday. So it's been a little crazy. But on Monday, my brother called me and I was in the middle of doing something and saw that he called. I missed the call. And I said, I'll call him back in a little bit. And then I see a text come in from my mom. And that's never good when it's back to back. So I called my brother and he said, I'm on my way over to, dad's house. He called, he was painting and he fell. He thinks he broke his leg. So I'm like, oh my gosh, oh no, you know? And so I said, well, are you calling 911? He said, no, he said he's fine. Don't call 911. I'm going to go check it out. But it was right around rush hour. So my parents live in East Narton. So it was a little, it takes a little bit of time to get there down Germantown. So he called again. He said he didn't sound good on the phone. So I'm going to call again. I'm going to check on him. Called again. Are you sure you're okay? Are you sure I don't need to call 911? He said, no, I don't need to call 911. I just need you to get here. So, okay. My brother Jim says, I'm on my way. And so he said he got there and he thought, my dad was going to be sitting somewhere waiting for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it feels kind of weird. I think I kind of broke it. What does he come into?
Yeah, so he comes and he sees the front door is partially opened and my dad's hand is hanging out the door and he's using the doorknob to lift his weight up to take the pressure off of his leg.
Uh-huh.
So my dad fell 16 feet from an extension ladder and essentially snapped his femur bone in half.
I mean,
snapped it clean.
One of the biggest bones in your body.
Yeah.
And Kathy showed us the x-ray. Just the x-ray is hard to look at.
Well,
because it is completely cut in half, separated, and off angle.
It looks like it's about a foot and a half separation.
Oh my
it looks
God.
Like it's someone else's leg.
So my brother gets there, and so my dad said that his left leg was literally pointed in. Like it was facing the wrong way. And he goes, I think I popped it back into place. So my dad tried to straighten his own leg out.
Oh, God.
And he goes, you just need to lift me up and get me in the car. And my brother said he's looking at his leg and, he still has his jeans on and it's swollen. And he's like, I cannot move. First of all, it's going to be difficult for me to pick you up anyway, but to move you, you're going to be in so much pain. And fortunately, my brother called 911. The ambulance came out.
He didn't think that was ambulance worthy.
Yeah, didn't your dad say, no, call the hospital?
He goes,
call
no, hospital, don't, yeah. don't call an ambulance. Because, he's always worried about money and the bills. And he said, don't call the ambulance, call the hospital. My brother goes, that's the ambulance.
No, Kathy. Thanks for calling. Yeah. We're going to come pick you up. I don't know. Maybe we'll use an ambulance.
Yeah. Hey, Kathy, how was the rest of his appearance while all this was going on? Like, was he banged up anywhere else besides his leg?
No. So, I mean, of course, when they took him to the hospital, it took him 4 EMTs to lift my dad up and
put your dad's tiny
onto the stretcher. But he's
they didn't want to move him.
They didn't want to move him. And he said that was like the worst. I mean, obviously, snapping his leg was pretty painful. But when they moved him, so my brother's like, thank God I called 911. I could have never done that. Got him in the car without.
Could you imagine one guy carrying, especially with no support for the leg?
Yeah, when you first texted, and you were very vague with the details, because I'm sure you were frantic, I was like, I thought maybe he hit his head. And,
yes.
And that's why I'm like, did he hit his head? And thankfully he came back.
Yeah. So they,
with that, yeah, that, they, that it was his leg.
Yeah. They obviously did, you know, MRI and CAT scan, and they, all the scans came back that, you know, there was nothing wrong with the head and neck. And before they go into surgery, they have to check everything else, they said, from a fall, because sometimes, you know, obviously you have, the main issue or the issue that's, you know, most visible, which was the leg, but sometimes they, you know, they don't want to rush into surgery because there's other things that could be happening. But
sure, they have to check everything, yeah.
Yeah, fortunately, it was just that. So he had some other scrapes and bruises, you know, along his legs and stuff like that, but
how did his pap smear come back?
Nothing else.
So my friend, you know, I didn't go to the 50th reunion. I went to a wedding.
Yes, yeah.
And the wedding that we went to, George, the groom, just a few weeks back, he fell off a ladder as well and broke his tibia and fibula. So that's the lower part of your leg. And the same thing snapped, Kathy, and it was off to the side.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was sticking out of the leg and everything.
Yeah.
And
it was the compound. Bone cut through the leg?
That's what I was told, yeah. And so, and this was just... getting ready to be married in like a month. Happens. And it happened.
Yeah, so my dad's bone didn't cut through his leg, fortunately. And when we got to the ER, the doctor said, well, he looked at it and they did the x-ray and everything. He said, well, you did part of my job by trying to basically realign your leg because that's what they did. That's
how was great. It? So did he did a fairly decent job
he probably shouldn't have done it, but the doctor, right. We ended up talking to the ER doctor, by the way, who was Dr. Rothman at Paoli Hospital, was amazing. He was the ER doctor, and he was, you know, very helpful. But he said he pretty much did part of the job, and then they had to they gave him propofol because they had to kind of knock him out to realign.
Yeah, swear by it.
And it stayed in this like contraption for the night, and then they had to kind of move it into a different contraption until he went into surgery, which was yesterday. He had to have a rod and screws put in.
Now was he fighting the notion of surgery as well?
Oh, yeah. So he was like, we walked in, so because he was back with the doctors, you know, by himself for a little while. And we walked in, and he was like, I don't want to have surgery. I'm not going to have surgery. And,
dude, you have to.
Well, they said you know, my dad is very active, and
he's in good shape.
He's in great shape, and they actually said the surgeon, who also I want to give him, say his name, it's Dr. Garino. He's the orthopedic surgeon at Paoli. He was also amazing and also listens to the show.
Oh, cool. Hey.
Yeah. So
I hope he likes it.
He said, you know, because of my dad's health and what great shape my dad was in, that helped with the surgery and that he is going to be able to recover. My dad bikes all the time. And he said, you know, you'll be able to get back on the bike if you have the surgery. If you don't, you're going to end up walking with a cane for the rest of your life.
There's no decision.
What is it? Is it called a compound fracture when it completely breaks in half like that? And then a complex compound fracture is when it exits the skin, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
I had always heard compound was out of the skin, but I may be wrong. I've never heard.
And that happened to my friend, who is actually a surgeon now, but he was playing soccer, went up for a head ball, collided with a guy, came down, went to brace his fall, arm came popping out of his. It was a scary, scary moment. I was there.
I mean, usually that stuff is supposed to stay inside.
Yeah.
And when it comes out, it frightens you.
When you climb up a ladder,
yes.
Are you extra super careful?
No.
I am.
You're not?
I am very careful. Are you not?
I try to be, but then there are some times I'm like, whether it's hanging up lights in a Christmas, or, you know, in the tree out in the front yard, I'm like, I kind of shake the thing and I'm like, yeah, that'll hold.
Oh.
And I'm like, you dumbass, what are you doing?
No, in that case, I've done that. Yeah. But I'm very careful of foot placement.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And I don't just go, like my brother-in-law is a contractor. Goes running around. You know, that's what they do.
Yeah, climbing up, I think, is easy and not that bad. It's the climbing down that, you know, gets me a little bit skittish.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
You know what? And the problem, and I didn't have much of this conversation with my dad because I felt bad. The leg is broken. This is it. You have to have surgery. There's nothing we can do. We can't go back and fix it. But of course, there are things where you look back and you're like, why did you do that? I mean, my mom and I literally had the conversation the night before. He should not be climbing up there to do this. My dad's 74 years old and he's still super active. But Preston, it was an extension ladder.
Okay.
So it slid out from underneath him.
Oh, okay. So he was painting, right?
He was painting.
And he was painting it, as you walk into the front door. You have a.
They had a 16-foot ceiling, okay. So he was painting when that hallway.
You don't paint on one of those. You get a ladder that is a freestanding ladder.
You know,
those
when you hire somebody, they bring scaffolding in. Like that's how you're supposed to paint.
What I won't do is go up on a ladder if nobody else is around. That's the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a moron. 12 years ago, I fell off. I don't know if you guys remember, but we talked about it on air. I went up to clean the gutters out, and I waited until my wife at the time and son weren't there, like an idiot. I didn't have anybody spotting the ladder. And
can you guys leave? I want to make sure there's no one around in case there's an accident.
Right. Seriously. What an idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
But getting up was not the problem. It was getting off of the roof onto the ladder, and then I kicked the ladder out from underneath and then fell down onto the brick patio.
Nick, that's a Clark Griswold moment.
I'm sure it looked hilarious. And honestly, like once I realized that I hadn't broken anything, that I was just banged up and scraped up a little bit, I laughed at myself. But I was in a ton of pain when it happened. It was just being stupid.
Marissa's got a story.
Yeah,
you were on the top of a step stool.
It was so scary when it fell. Close. I have 10-foot ceilings in my apartment. And, of course, I don't have room for a ladder, so I don't have one. So I took a chair.
Oh, God.
And then when I couldn't stand on the chair, I put a step stool on the chair. And then I still couldn't put it. So I think my brother came over and like I may have even gotten on his shoulders. And then we were on the step stool on his shoulders getting to this this light bulb to change in the ceiling.
You see less risky acts on America's Got Talent.
So, don't they have light bulb changers that you can put on a stick, right?
Yeah. Because I have to take off a glass covering and then put the light bulb in and then put the light. The
terrible
glass
design.
Back on top. So it burned out. It's been out for about 8 months now.
Yeah.
This is a good point. And let me say this. So since we moved into this house that we're in, we've been there for now a year and a couple months. In the old house, we had just one like step stool that we had used. And I was always doing the precarious, you know, up on your tippy toes on the top of it. Get a couple ladders.
Exactly.
You will use them eventually, and if you have it right there, it'll stop you from doing the, I'll just do this.
We have a step stool, and the Michelle finally got like a 5-foot-tall super step stool.
You're going to use it a lot.
Which we end up using a lot, and then we have the big ladder, which is in sections. But yeah, you're right. You need a couple different versions, Maris.
But they're so ugly. Can they start creating some really cute step stools?
That's going to be the big boon in the hardware industry is super cute ladders.
Have you not been to HomeGoods?
Super cute ladders.
Not tall ones. So I have all of my shoe boxes in my closet. Kathy's seen it. And I literally am on my tippy toes on my one kind of cute step stool that I can't reach anything from.
Yes, I just fell 31 feet off my cute ladder.
Steve got a brand new miter saw. He might be able to make you a cute little.
I actually can. Yes, I have a miter saw. I'm pretty good at it too.
Gotta make it cute though.
I'll make it cute. I'll put a little decoupage on it.
All right.
The problem with the step stool industry is that they're not enough cute ones.
Right. Right. Let me go.
Listen, I need a bear. Now you need to understand. It needs to be very cute.
Katie wants to clarify the types of fractures for you, Casey. She's an X-ray tech. Hi, Katie.
Oh, cool.
Good morning.
Sorry to bother you at work.
It's okay. That's all right, Katie. So you're an X-ray tech. You can clear all this up.
Absolutely. So an open fracture is when it comes through the skin. That makes it open. Compound is almost like, picture like a stick. And if you like squish it top to bottom and it kind of snaps in the middle and like compounds on itself, that's what it would be.
Oh.
No, those open fractures are pretty gnarly. And that's what you were saying. The guy you were playing soccer with, that's pretty nasty.
So to clarify again on the compound, if you were to take the two bones and crush them together, they start to mash out and blister?
Not splinter, I should say? You could do like your femur, like your like one bone can compound upon itself.
Yeah, well, all right. So you do get, as Preston says, we're looking at it right now.
Take it off the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Take it off the screen. And by the way, I can't even look at x-rays.
I want to be clear about something. I wasn't playing soccer. That's exercise. I was watching my friend play soccer.
Thank you, Katie.
With you guys.
All right, we'll see you later. I guess, you know, in the medical industry, you've got to become desensitized to this stuff.
Oh, well, so when the doctor came out he came out with a big smile on his face, so the surgery went well, but he explained to us
it's
what
broken.
He did. I mean, I thought I was going to pass out again. And my mom was like, you got to watch with her. He's like, I know. I mean, he explained, he said he had to make a third incision because he had to get his hand in there to twist the bone back into place.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God. Stop!
Holy crap!
death.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, it was, so my dad's bone, it snapped in half, but it shifted. So it was no longer aligned. It was like in a whole different place.
Did they tell him, though, and they've told this to a lot of people who go through a similar injury, that his Charleston game will be dramatically improved now?
Marissa, did your friend break her femur? She got hit by a taxi cab, right? And then, or was it her hip that she broke?
She broke her femur, and then she has now screws in her hip.
Right. What, was she? Yeah.
Yeah, but she got hit by
the cab.
Car.
Broke it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but she was painting in the middle of the street.
I'm going to go to Anthony, an occupational therapist. Hi, Anthony. Good morning.
Good morning, ladies and gents. How are we today?
We're doing pretty good. So you've seen a lot of this type of injury, then, huh?
Yes, I actually work in one of the Penn Medicine hospitals, and I see the patients. I've actually seen patients before they've gone into surgery, and they're usually nice and drugged up, and they have sometimes no recollection of, you know, the first day or two in the hospital. But I deal with everything. And Kathy, I'm curious, what's your father's weight bearing status? Is he weight bearing? Is tolerated? Is he partial weight bearing? Is he toe touch? Is he non weight bearing?
You mean after the surgery?
Now.
Yeah,
he just had it, so he came. We didn't see him until like yesterday evening, and he had not. The anesthesia hadn't completely wore off for them to take him out of the bed yet. So I'm not sure how he is this morning.
Okay, all right. So just giving you some insight. I mean, if he's weight bearing, is tolerated, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt. I'm not gonna lie about that. They're gonna have pain management come in there to help you guys, you know, figure out how much he can tolerate. And if that's the case, you know. If he's, as you're saying, a really good, in good shape, healthy guy, he can be up and running really quickly, and he could be home realistically in 2 to 3 weeks. He's probably going to need some rehab, but if he's partial weight bearing or non weight bearing, he's going to.
I'm a little confused about the partial and full. Yeah. What is this delineation referring to?
So the delineation with this is, if it's weight bearing, it's tolerated. You can put all your weight through it, and as long as you can tolerate the pain, you can do whatever.
Okay.
If it's partial weight bearing or non weight bearing is you can't put any weight on that because your bone is still sensitive and it needs time to heal. Whether they put a steel rod in there, they did metal wiring for all that to heal.
Yeah.
If it's partial weight bearing, that basically is you can put some weight on your toe basically, and you can, you know, get up out of bed, hop to a, you know, not hop to a chair, but just balance yourself enough to get to a chair, get to a bedside commode, stuff like that. And yes, we are very desensitized to all this. And I can tell you right now, as occupational therapy, we work on the bathing, dressing, and toileting aspect, and getting in and out of bed is a key thing.
Yeah.
And trust me, I see a lot of bare asses, and I wipe a lot of asses.
I'm sure.
And then you go to work.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm on my way to work now.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing right now. So, but, you know, the sooner you guys find...
You're saying now, Kathy, your doctor said he might be out of the hospital much sooner than that, right?
Yeah, so they have to feel safe that he can, you know, leave and go home and
use the commode.
Oh, God. he's expected to leave in a couple of days.
Okay.
All right.
So ideally, Kathy, just giving you a heads up, they may suggest he go to inpatient rehab for a week or two.
Make sure it's the right rehab, not like an Alcoholics Anonymous or something.
Get Dr. Mike involved in this. Trust me. I'm surprised he hasn't called in this.
I bet you he's on it like white on rice. Yeah.
Trust me, my dad's not going to a rehab.
Yeah, appreciate it.
He wanted to go home last night.
Listen, I almost texted you immediately, but I thought it was too soon. I was going to be like, that's my drinking buddy. He's got to be all right.
He's fine.
He can't be. No.
I am addicted to heroin. What's your issue? I fell off a ladder. I think I'm in the wrong. I'm in the wrong rehab.
I want to go to Katie. Put her back on hold, please. Whoever's talking to her right now, because she has an interesting falling off the ladder story with a little added bonus to it. Hi, Katie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
What's the deal?
What's the deal?
Let's say it correctly now. No, Katie.
Sorry, I'm no, tell the North Dakota accent.
Hey, tell us about your dad and his fall.
So my mom noticed that my dad was limping a couple years ago, and she asked him what he did, and he said he hurt it by working out in the yard. And then she talked to my neighbor later that day, and he said, hey, is David okay? I saw him fall. And she goes, yeah, he's fine. What are you talking about? And he said, oh, you don't know? And she said, no. And he said, well, I saw him from my workshop upstairs, and he had a ladder propped up on a tree, and he was getting ready to cut a tree branch with a chainsaw. and nobody was out there with him, mm-hmm. and the ladder fell out from underneath him with the chainsaw running.
Oh, my God!
And my dad, my neighbor ran out, jumped the fence, and he's a Vietnam vet, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And he ran over to see if my dad was okay, and my dad was on the ground. The chainsaw was still running next to him. The emergency shutoff didn't work.
Oh, my God. No. Oh, my God.
And how bad was he hurt, Katie? I mean, he obviously, he brushed it off, so your mom didn't know, but how bad was he hurt?
He just sprained his ankle.
Oh,
so, you got lucky. Yeah, so if you ever watch America's Funniest Home Videos, thanks. The amount of guys who attempt to do the exact same thing with it, with a leaning ladder, get mm-hmm. up and remove branches mm-hmm. with a chainsaw is ridiculous.
Or they cut the branch off that they're leaning on.
Well, my dad cut down an entire enormous tree from our backyard. Like, this is the crap that he does.
Yeah, that's what he does.
He's
spry.
Here's one of my favorites. They're showing the
QVC.
QVC, yes. Yep.
They're plus size. Yeah, when they're demonstrating how awesome the ladder is,
but the guy,
this is the best one. It's like an A-frame type ladder with it collapses when this guy goes into the middle of it.
He's showing how sturdy it is. Wow.
Don't keep going, dude.
It is suiting everything. Oh.
See, what they needed there were super cute ladders.
Yeah. Right. That would have done it. So somebody texted and said the x-ray tech is wrong. What she called a compound fracture is actually a compaction fracture.
Oh, jeez.
That's why she's an x-ray tech.
We don't use the word compound anymore. Thanks. Have a great
day. It's actually the new phrasing is compunction junction, Preston.
this is from Dr. Larry, by the way.
Yeah, we got a bunch of texts saying that she was slightly off in her description.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe she got nervous on
that. Well, I'll tell you what. You get any bone that size snapping, you don't care what the classification is. You just know it hurts.
Yeah. Yep. And you know what? I have to say, I am completely impressed with Paoli Hospital. They did a great job. They were so nice. All of the nurses, my dad's nurse, Frank, also listens to the show. So thank you guys for taking care of him. Really completely impressed with that hospital and everything that they did for us. But I told Preston this morning when they brought my dad in after the surgery, we were waiting in the room for him.
Yeah.
And they brought him in and like he was laying to the side. His mouth was open, like his tongue was almost hanging out. My mom was like, oh, my God. And then, of course, he popped his head up and started laughing at us.
My friend whose foot was run over by the backhoe, that's where he went for,
Paoli.
I was impressed.
Completely, just crushed his foot, and they have a great trauma center.
They crushed it.
They crushed it.
All right. I'm sorry if I didn't get your calls. If people have been on hold for like 15 minutes, I apologize, gang. We didn't get a chance to get to, hang on the line, because if you want movie passes to see Venom, I'll set you up with those right now. Because
that'll make your 9-story fall worth it.
We have a screening of it next Wednesday, 7:30 at the UA King of Prussia. So anybody who is on hold right now and wants some tickets, 215-263-WMMR. We'll take a few extras as well.
It looks great.
We'll try to set you up with that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Fox, good day. We will check in with those guys. We got the birthday bucks coming up and more. We'll be right back.
MMR was pretty humbled when the biggest hard rock band on the planet said yes to playing our final big birthday concert event. Okay, maybe not humbled. More like ecstatic. The MMR 50th finale with Metallica. October 25th, we blow out the 50 candles on our cake and blow the roof off the Wells Fargo Center. We begin our 50-day march to Metallica. Every day, you can win the coolest Metallica treasures, CDs, concert posters, collectible vinyl, and tickets. Grand prize, meet the band and take home a custom Metallica Yeti cooler. It's MMR's 50th finale with Metallica. On sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
So tomorrow night, Casey Boy and the MM Army are going to be at Stinger's Waterfront in Delco from 7 to 9. They brought by a bunch of food, which is fantastic, and we thank them. And I have a $50 gift card to give away. Oh, nice. Caller number 5 at 215-263-WMMR. We will give that to you now. You can catch the big game tomorrow. Drink $2.50 Bud Light drafts. Enter to win Eagles-Panthers tickets and an autographed Nelson Aguilar helmet, courtesy of Bud Light. And these are always really cool events. So stop out tomorrow night at Stinger's Waterfront. We will get to the birthday buck's word in just a moment or two. It is 7:56, so we will have that for you as close to 8 o'clock as we can. It's another opportunity for you to win $1,000 if you miss out on it. This time, don't worry, because you got several other chances, 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you need the details, you can go to WMMR.com. You can get all that information there. But we will have that word, and that's easy to use the MMR app for that as well, or WMMR.com. It's very, very simple to do. Music means we're going live on Fox Good Day, so let's do it now.
Well, this segment, Preston and Steve, and all the ships at sea, this might be right up your alley
oh,
here.
Oh, we thought of them immediately.
Well, we have a survey of the most sex-crazed states in America. The study is based off Google searches, like...
Well, we should ask them. What do they think? Well, never mind.
what do we think the most sex-crazed states in the... are we talking also Commonwealths and things of that nature, or just the states?
You could include the Commonwealth.
Okay,
sure.
I'm going to have to recuse myself because I looked at the list, so I know what yes.
But from personal experience, though?
Well, of course, West Virginia.
Okay, all right.
It's an obvious.
I grew up with all the beaches. I grew up in Missouri, but if you cross the state line into Illinois, you were going to get some. That's kind
really?
Of way, yeah, that's kind of the way we, that's kind of what we always said.
Illinois, really?
Yeah, something about Illinois. Southern Illinois.
I would think states like, for example, Florida with where you get randier in the warmer weather, I think.
Less clothing, right. More sex.
Or is the mindset where you where you're forced to cocoon and stay inside.
Like Seattle, where it's rainy and snowy.
Hmm. Alex, you just went on a big walkabout. Where did you have the most sex?
Yeah, you got right.
So are we going to go to tell the state?
Well, let me tell your listeners. 10 was Wisconsin, 9 Washington, 8 Vermont, 7 Pennsylvania.
Flapping. Now, is that higher or lower, or just about where you guys were thinking?
Just about where we're thinking, I think, because, you know, people just love to go to Centralia and have sex. So
yes.
It's the smell of that burning gas. And ugh.
All
those states that you mentioned are though in the northern part of the state.
Yes,
so that's true. Kind of interesting.
Cupping season is a real thing, guys.
Cupping season is now Pennsylvania. Don't we have a town named Intercourse?
Yes, we do.
What?
And there are other. I won't say it because I know we could say it, but we won't say it for you guys. But yes, there is Intercourse. Yes, there we go. Yes,
right. And
yes.
I think there's a town named Climax too.
Yes, there is.
There's Knocked Up.
So there you go.
Baby Please.
Bird in Hand. Yeah.
And then there's Roofies, which is towards the western part.
Ohio is 6, Massachusetts 5, New Hampshire is 4th. Now here's your top 3.
All right.
Here we go.
3 is Michigan.
Okay.
2 is Maine.
Maine.
And number 1, where you find the most sex-crazed people, is Rhode Island.
It's Rhode Island.
Steve, state.
The colder states up
the
north?
The colder states.
That's where it happens.
Where maple syrup is readily available.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you think it's the lobster? Is lobster an aphrodisiac?
I don't know what you use lobsters for in that case, Alex.
Lobster bibs.
Maybe lobster bibs. I think, I don't know. Yeah, it's obviously in the cold. The change of seasons. I would have thought warmer weather would make people more randy, but then again, forcing them inside.
Yeah.
Got enough, and what if Netflix is out? So, you know, you're left with a little.
The least sexy is poor Mississippi. They're 50th on every survey.
It's a crooked letter.
Yes, but they have a big muddy river. So,
yes. All right, New Jersey, 27th, and Delaware, 22nd.
All right. Who conducted this definitive research?
Freakishly, it's the banned energy drink. What is it?
Four Loko
conducted this. Well, as you know, they're a source of all the information. Four Loko. Oh, yeah. I'm surprised Yoo-Hoo didn't conduct this survey.
Yoo-hoo.
I just want to meet the researchers and all the stuff they had to do to get this research
done. Do you really want to meet those
people? No, you can never find them because they're running around.
Uh-huh.
They're all amped up.
We'll see you next week, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care, guys.
Four Loko.
Oh, my God. I saw some of that not that long ago in like a freezer a refrigerator at a liquor store.
I thought they banned it.
They did.
I think they reconnoitered the formula.
Yeah.
Because it used to be, it was high alcohol and caffeine.
And sugar.
And well, yeah, and sugar, too. But the two really reactive things were the caffeine and the alcohol together.
That's like a Red Bull and vodka.
Right.
But it was, I think it equated out to something like 6 cups of coffee, like two shots of vodka and a six-pack of beer. It was crazy.
Yeah, so there you go. There's your definitive source of sexy states.
In fact, with the Four Loko, with each can, they'd give you an unplanned child just to complete the thing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, that's nice of them. We are going to do the Bizarre File, so let's do it. Oh, wait, no.
It's
8:01. Second, hang on, let me do this.
It's 8:01, and that means that we have to do the birthday bucks because we would cheat you out of some time to get that text in, or that, not the text, but send it over via our mobile app. So let's get the official sounder to fire this thing off.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I got to get the stager ready here.
Sounder.
There we go. Go.
MMR's birthday bucks.
All right, we got Cully. It's time to win. We got cash, too. $1,000 cash. MMR's birthday bucks part two. This hour's keyword is big. B-I-G. And you have until 8:15 to enter it via WMMR's mobile app or WMMR.com. One winner selected at random wins $1,000 in this company-wide contest. Once again, the word is big. B-I-G. Good luck from WMMR.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and this morning it is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Peeling lucky, grab a large or extra large Dunkin' coffee for a chance to win great prizes. No purchase necessary. 13 plus ends October 15th. While supplies last, for game piece and official rules, visit sippeelwin.com. Roger Washburn, who happens to be 71 years old, has been charged after he allegedly pistol-whipped his good friend while they were arguing over a Bruno Mars song.
71 years old, pistol-whips his friend over a Bruno Mars. What song was it?
You know what? I'm not sure, Steve, but the victim told authorities that he and Washburn were arguing over who sang the song that was playing. The victim said that he knew it was sung by Bruno Mars, but that Washburn was insisting that it wasn't, and then he pulled out a .38 caliber handgun.
This ain't no goddamn Bruno Mars.
The victim reportedly called Washburn a chicken S. Before Washburn smacked him with his gun.
What'd you say?
The weapon went off twice as Washburn swung it around, by the way.
Whoa.
Police weren't called until hours later because, as it was reported, the victim was shocked that his friend of 50 years would treat him in such a way.
You are such an idiot. You're the same one who thought Cardi B was Beyonce.
Washburn was charged with battery with injury and criminal recklessness with a deadly weapon.
Well, if you're going to beat someone to the point of death, let it be over a Bruno Mars song.
Right. A video that shows a former Commercial Park Food Services employee spitting on pizza intended for customers has gone viral. Now officials
is that listed as a topping?
Say the employee is in police custody and could face charges. The video was posted to Instagram on Saturday and shows an employee spitting on the pizza and then rubbing the sauce in it.
Oh, man.
Quinnell May, the person that posted the video, said that the worker was, quote, mad at having a bad day and also claimed to have done it in the past.
Having a bad day and takes it out on the recipients of the pizza who had nothing to do with that.
Don't know why.
Potentially children as well.
Potentially children and all potentially Bruno Mars fans.
May said after he recorded the video that he went to the bathroom looking around to tell people about the video but couldn't find anybody. He said that his managers got mad at him and shut him down when he tried to tell them. He said, every time I tried to talk, they told me to shut up.
He's trying to be a good whistleblower.
He said that he was told to leave and threatened with prosecution if he didn't take the post down.
Wow.
May's termination has not yet received a response from the local media. So the dude that called him out has gotten fired.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. A man who told police that he just wanted some alone time to pleasure himself in the woods is charged with felony indecent exposure for an incident that escalated to a tussle with a passerby on a Maple Valley nature trail.
All right, how deep into the woods was he when he decided to pleasure himself?
That's a good question. So Kenton Shawl admitted to police that he was, quote, jerking along the Lake Wilderness Trail.
So there I was, jerking.
About 20 miles southeast of Seattle, but found himself tussling with a man who took offense to his actions and tried to summon police. Now, the incident occurred when 911 callers reported a naked man fighting someone on the trail. When deputies,
if someone wants to yank a guy's crank, I say let him.
When deputies arrived at the scene, they heard crashing coming from a ditch and found two men and Shawl, who appeared to have a bloodied mouth, and a 42-year-old man, both covered in mud and dirt. When a deputy asked Shawl what happened, he allegedly yelled, "He found me with my blank in my hand, jerking, and kicked my blank."
Wow.
So I don't know what
they
he says.
They even used the words blank.
No, it says expletive. Oh, I just use blank because it's
so
shorter.
The question is, was he just at the parking lot where the trail begins, or was he...
he was in the woods.
Deep in. So, I mean, if you're by yourself in the middle of a field...
And somebody comes across you, it's like, I don't know.
Dude, this is... This is my alone time. However, if you're on the path or within sight of the path, I think then you're right? Isn't that what we fought the Revolutionary War for?
He contended that he never had any, quote, alone time, and said that while he walked on the trail, he found a private location and began jerking.
This is beautiful.
The 42-year-old man told a deputy that he and his wife saw Shawl pleasuring himself above the trail, and so he hit him and placed him in a chokehold.
I would leave the guy alone.
He reportedly told Shawl to stay put while someone summoned police and asked passing women to call 911.
Would you want to run up and place a guy who's doing that in a chokehold?
Well, I wouldn't. No.
No.
Yeah. Not at all. So, I don't know.
Because we believe
we're gonna let the
in
law,
freedom.
We're going to let the law handle this one.
The long arm and hand and palm of the law.
There's some debate over whether lobsters feel pain when they're being boiled, and now Charlotte's legendary lobster pound in Maine is experimenting with getting lobsters high off marijuana smoke before killing and cooking them, claiming that it's the more humane way to do things.
I wonder if this works.
Charlotte Gill, who opened the eatery 7 years ago, is also a licensed medical marijuana caregiver in the state, and says an experimental lobster exposed to marijuana smoke was calmer inside its tank for the next 3 weeks and didn't try to attack other lobsters even though its claws weren't bound.
Dude, I am so pitted.
Gil now has a dedicated outdoor station that she uses to sedate the lobsters with THC-infused smoke, but only at the customer's request.
You know what's funny is that when they do the marijuana treatment, the lobsters start getting hungry for lobster.
Oh, my God. How ironic.
They get the munchies for lobster.
Yeah. A Washington State Patrol trooper got more than he bargained for when he tried to pull over a woman from Olympia with expired plates. The trooper spotted a white hatchback Toyota Prius. When the trooper turned on his emergency lights, the driver made no reasonable attempt to pull over. She drove about a mile before leaving Interstate 5 and stopping at an intersection. The trooper then told her over the loudspeaker to get off the road. She stayed put, though. The trooper then approached the driver's side window and told her to move off the road. She allegedly said she would not stop until she reached the Bank of America parking lot. The trooper told the driver to pull over a third time, and she said, "I will not. I drive a Prius, and I'm not pulling over there." That was her excuse.
I wonder if that will stand up in a court of law.
The trooper told her a fourth time, according to his written report. Again, she refused, seeing that the driver would not cooperate. The trooper told her to step out of the vehicle. She said no and resisted, according to the report. He then forced her out.
Perhaps you didn't hear. This is a Prius.
The driver was unhappy. She said, "I will own your bank account. I will own your house.
You can see I can afford a Prius."
The trooper asked her name, and she said, "None of your business." The driver told the trooper that she would not pull over to the shoulder because her tires keep popping because her car is a Prius.
Well, see, that makes it sound like not a good car to own if the tires keep popping.
I would think, yeah, you wouldn't want tires popping all the time. The driver was arrested for investigation of failing to obey instructions. God only knows.
See, I know you're with me on this. You listen to the police officer.
Yeah.
Even if you feel that there's no reason for it, just follow what they're doing and then you can take it up later.
Yep.
Even if your tires are popping.
You will avoid something that could be more severe.
Yes.
If you try to resist in any way. All right, so... A reminder, we have a word that's out there, and you got about 5 minutes left to enter it via WMMR's mobile app. It's our birthday bucks part two, and the word is big.
Yeah.
B-I-G. One winner selected at random will win $1,000 in our company-wide contest, so you still got a little time left. pull over, whatever you got to do, go to the mobile app and enter the word big. You'll see the Birthday Bucks Part 2 banner. It's easy to do.
Be careful when you pull over, though. Your tires might pop.
Yeah, be careful, especially your Prius owners.
Prius owners. Obviously, it's a risk.
Hottie Cam, we have Miss September Autumn on with her friend Ellen right now, and that's available via the mobile app now. We have that all cleaned up. I know we had some issues with it in the past, but apparently everything's fantastic now. So go ahead and take a look when you have the opportunity. We'll be back in just a moment, but I do want to give away some more Cream of the Scream passes for Dorney Park on Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. It's our first stop. Let's take five callers at 215-263-WMMR. Once again, it is this Friday. You need to be there from 6 to 8, and the park is wide open with all kinds of great scary stuff for you. We'll be back in just a moment.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
I noticed a couple of things that I thought.
He's back.
I didn't.
I'm not even going to let him finish. The Noticer has returned. Everyone loves the Noticer.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. The Noticer just observed that, and I concur.
I noticed that about you.
I love the Noticer graphic that's up in the studio right now.
Yeah, we have
the Noticer wearing his Noticer mask. I noticed that.
I thought about putting it on, but I'm not going to. It's hard. I can't wear my glasses at the same time.
Do you ever try to explain the concept of these dumb sub-segments that we do? And people, he just notices things.
It's a thing,
it's like, wow, and this is a major market show?
So I noticed that there are two well-established businesses that are about to change their name.
Yes.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Whoa.
Did you hear about this?
Yes. No. IHOB.
Not IHOB.
They're dropping the donuts, right?
They're dropping the donuts. There's just going to be Dunkin'. That's the word. And they are the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and a fine sponsor of this program. Makes it possible for us to speak to you every single day.
May I, again, just lavish a little bit of praise on their hot
Please
chocolate?
Please do.
Yeah. Which is like filling your jacuzzi with warm chocolate goodness and getting into it, Preston. It's creamy and wonderful. Dunkin'. Now I'll say Dunkin' hot chocolate.
Yeah. Well, yes.
I was just going to say, I rarely, like if I'm going to Dunkin' Donuts, I rarely say, hey, do you want anything from Dunkin' Donuts? Hey, what do you want from Dunkin'?
I do.
Oh, really?
I'm Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah. Well, the reason it is that way with me is because I work there. You know, I'm a company man.
Yeah. Right.
And so at that time, it was always the push is Dunkin' Donuts and making sure that people said that. But Dunkin' works just fine.
Kathy, you're a double D or just like me.
Yeah.
Double D denial, actually.
So the new name was tested last year at 50 locations through the U.S. The company learned that many customers didn't like the change, but the name will change. As of January of 2019, the donut chain will be rebranded as Dunkin'. So they already do a little bit of it because you notice the tagline is the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'.
Yes.
Not Dunkin' Donuts.
But it's part of a master plan to shorten it eventually to Duh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Duh.
How far nationwide are they?
They're all over the country, are they not?
I believe they're the entire country.
I thought that they weren't, but maybe I'm wrong.
No kidding. Well, I mean, you have other brands that have a firmer hold in like southern states,
right,
and stuff like that, and northern. There are a few others as well, but I've lived around the country a little bit, and Dunkin' Donuts has always been there.
I remember going out west and seeing and not seeing stores like CVS and being surprised by that. Like for the longest time, CVS was only an eastern part of the country thing.
Yeah, but here we go. It says as of December, this was 2013, several years ago. There were 10,858 Dunkin' Donuts. Retail locations, including over 7,600 in the United States. Okay.
There are some in Europe?
I guess so. It says there's over 3,000 in other countries. So there will also be other changes, according to Dunkin' Brands CEO Davis Hoffman, who stated our new branding is one of many things that we're doing as part of our blueprint for growth to modernize the Dunkin' experience for our customers. From our next generation restaurants to our menu innovation, on-the-go ordering and value offerings all delivered at the speed of Dunkin'. We are working to
provide... I just did the Kessel Run in 9 Dunkins.
To provide our... That's so rhino of you. charge. To provide our guests with great beverages... it says Delivious food. I think it means
Delivious is a new classification. It's delivered and it's delicious.
Delivious.
I'm absolutely delivious over these donuts. No, so their menu's expanding with the sandwiches and everything, right?
Nope, it's going to shrink.
Well, why then remove the emphasis on donuts?
I don't know, but they're going to.
Why don't you have all the answers?
They're going to focus. they're going to trim the menu down.
Okay,
and they're going to focus on the donuts and the beverages.
Okay,
and a little less on all the sandwiches and things that they
I
have.
Do like the sandwiches.
I do too.
I think the sandwiches are really good.
Well, and so for me and my family, Dunkin' is not just a breakfast place.
It's
anymore.
A religion.
No, it's not a breakfast place. Like, for instance, me and my son went there on Saturday for lunch.
Okay? You crazy son of a bitch.
I know.
All right. So that is changing, and not only them, which is interesting, Weight Watchers is trimming down.
They're changing to Dunkin' as well.
Yeah, they're going
to.
Did you just say Weight Watchers is trimming down?
Yeah. Slimming down is all what right. it says here, but yeah. And so. What do you think Weight Watchers is going to change your name
to? I already
to?
Know.
Oh.
All right, wait a second. So something trendy.
Chubby No More.
Chubby No More?
No.
CNM. No, it's not Chubby No More.
How about Cute Ladders?
Nope.
Cute Step Stools.
I'll give you one more guess.
Watchers?
No.
The Watchmen?
No, not The Watchmen. It's going to be called WW.
Now, that's too many syllables.
I agree.
Weight Watchers.
It's hard to say.
Watchers. That's three.
It's hard to say that.
Six syllables.
Double, double. Steve Tower's head's going to explode.
Hit by W.
Did you just say?
W, W.
It's the worst news he could ever hear.
Oh, my God. I think just a handful of people got that.
Yeah, I
enjoyed
it.
W-W. It's... I hope Gunner heard that. Oh, my God. He's going to die. It'll be called WW, but it doesn't stand for Weight Watchers.
Oh, come on. What does it stand for?
Wawa.
Rascally Wabbit.
According to WW's chief executive, Mindy Grossman, the new name is just a marquee that represents our heritage and history and what we are going forward.
That's delivious.
Who is what we are writing going this forward.
Crap? Oh, what we are
going forward.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So is it World War? What does WW stand for?
So the KFC tried to change it to just KFC and not have a Kentucky Fried Chicken anyway. It was just KFC.
And
over time, you may forget that the word fried is in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Weight Watchers, that is a firm brand that does not need to be changed at all.
A, and B, it's a fundamental aspect of the service you're providing. And I know many people who actually have used it and some who are currently using it and swear by Weight Watchers. I know that everyone's looking for the quick, you know, we're WW. But WW in and of itself is hard to say.
I think it's a world war. The rebranding comes to the company is wanting to broaden its program, so they want to focus on health and wellness and not just weight. So heart
health. We shall lose weight in London and in Manchester.
Yeah.
We shall never surrender.
So instead of just weight, they want to focus on wellness altogether. So exercise, heart.
How about Wellness Watchers?
Yeah, right. How about WWW? So it's Weight Wellness Watchers.
Maybe. I don't know.
WWW.
Wait a minute, is this Kevin Smith?
Kevin Smith is a current spokesperson.
Is he?
Because they helped him lose 52 pounds after his heart attack.
Okay.
And he looks great.
Yeah, he does look great.
And he swears by it.
All right.
Okay. Well, I think it's... obviously, we like to think that they hire these high-priced marketing people who come in and say, no, this will work. But you've seen too many of these things not work.
Yeah.
And I think... Weight Watchers is not a...
It's fine.
And then when you think of losing weight, you also think of wellness associated with that, right?
You think of it being healthy, so...
What have you ever said, hey, I'm losing weight, I stopped smoking. Is that good for you?
Yeah. So anyhow, they're changing it. So WW, as in World War. You know what else I noticed?
Ooh.
I noticed more things.
I noticed that the...
Not just product renaming.
The Cold War.
Could have
been a world war.
TCW.
But a cache of Soviet jokes that was compiled by CIA agents during the Cold War has been released. among a cache of declassified documents.
Soviet jokes.
Jokes.
Designed for what purpose?
It's hard to say because they mainly make fun of the Soviet Union. All the jokes were told between Soviets, but picked up by CIA operatives before being relayed back to Washington. So
do we believe that perhaps it were American operatives and spies to be armed with these jokes? It might be a way of sort of ingratiating themselves to, in other words, if you could tell a funny Soviet joke to another person.
They're not clear on what the purpose of this was.
Or was it for their...
I think it was just them.
Soviet review.
It was just part of the gigantic lists of stuff that they have at the CIA.
So there's a lot of Yakov Smirnov stuff here, right?
The list was addressed to the deputy director of the CIA, but is believed to have been circulated among senior White House officials. One joke featuring Ronald Reagan made it to the president's desk, and he found it so funny that he began to use it himself.
That's the goddamn funniest thing I've ever heard.
So here, do you want to hear the joke?
Please, yeah. Tell me. Tell me, Mommy.
An American tells a Russian that the United States is so free that he can stand in front of the White House and yell, "To hell with Ronald Reagan." And the Russian replies, "That's nothing. I can stand in front of the Kremlin and yell, 'To hell with Ronald Reagan, too.'"
I don't get it.
Oh, yeah!
Did you say penis? I must have missed it.
No.
You said it was a dirty joke.
No, I didn't say it was a dirty joke.
Oh, yes, you did. We're... What?
No, I didn't say it was a dirty joke.
You said it was filthy.
I think the Alzheimer's is kicking in, Ronnie.
God damn it.
Yeah. Yep.
Where are my jelly beans?
It is not known exactly why the CIA began doing this.
It wasn't filthy.
Though since there were no polls in Soviet Russia, it could have been a good way for agents to judge public mood towards politicians and the government.
Why did chicken cross road?
Why?
To escape the extreme starvation caused by Stalin.
One particular figure of fun was Mikhail Gorbachev.
Why do I have stain on head?
The last leader of the Soviet Union who worked to end the Cold War by reforming the USSR. While this made him popular overseas, he was often reviled at home, as revealed by this joke, which tells of a man waiting in line at a liquor store.
Tell the joke.
A worker standing in a liquor store line says, I have had enough. Save my place. I'm going to go shoot Gorbachev. Mm. 2 hours later, he returns to claim his place in line, and his friends asked, "Did you get him?" He said, "No, the line there was even longer than the line here."
That is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny.
Another joke compares Gorbachev to...
You know, maybe we don't laugh at the same kind of jokes or something, but... You know, he told me that Gorbachev line joke, and it wasn't funny. But I have one for you. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Banana.
I don't think you told that correctly.
Shut up.
Banana.
Going home.
Here, another joke compares Gorbachev to Czechoslovakian leader Alexander Dubček, is how you say his name? I don't know. Who was forced from office at gunpoint after trying to reform the Soviet state.
Knock, knock.
Get
out of office or I shoot you in head.
What's the difference between Gorbachev and Dubček? Nothing, but Gorbachev doesn't know it yet.
Hey!
That's the joke.
Okay.
Thank you for coming tonight.
Stalin was also...
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Stay in your seats or you'll all be shot. He's funny, yes? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
You will starve in gulag.
I'm here all the week.
I would say try some veal, but there is no veal. Try cannibalism as we starve out all of the population in Siberia. Because of extreme poverty caused by Stalin. Thanks for coming.
One joke tells of a man who disappears for 15 years before suddenly returning. He said, "I was in jail for calling Stalin a fathead." And his friend said, "That's a long time for a joke." He said, "No, I only got 1 year for the joke. I got 14 for revealing a state secret." Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
They murdered my wife.
That's not
That's sad.
Yeah, but if you think about it, she was nagging.
It's a way Homer.
Have you heard the banana joke?
Heard funny joke from Rocky. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange. Orange.
Banana.
Oh, God. Oh. Let's see. Do you want to hear another one?
Yeah. You know, it's. I would be curious, though, as to whether this is just something that they collected just because they were hearing them. Or if there was ultimately a plan to just, in other words, if you know colloquialisms and you know things as a spy, you're trying to get information, or
well,
if you have a joke like this where only Russians would know it, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That it might, you know,
what I said,
might serve as a purpose.
I don't know if you missed this, but they said it was just maybe a good way for them to judge the mood, the overall mood.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
The mood towards politicians and the government.
All right.
By what jokes are being told, you can get an idea of maybe what everybody's mentality is on how things are being run. So here you go. Here's one joke pokes fun at food shortages and living conditions in the USSR during the 1980s, especially when compared to America. It goes, a Chucky, which is an indigenous native to Chukchi Peninsula, which is across the Bering Straits from Alaska. So it's right near the United States.
All right.
So it says a Chukchi is asked what he would do if the Soviet borders were open. He said, I'd climb the highest tree. Asked why, he says, so I wouldn't get trampled on by the stampede out.
This is good, right? How much wood would the Chukchi chuck if a Chukchi could chuck wood?
Then he is asked what he would do if the U.S. border is open. He said, I'd climb the highest tree so I could see the first person crazy enough to come over here.
Hey, have you seen Woody Allen's wife, Sun Yi? It's disgusting.
Okay.
That's more social commentary.
Yeah, right.
I'm trying to branch out and do pop culture. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Genocide.
Genocide who?
Banana.
An old lady goes to the Gorisplukum with a question.
I am here at Gorisplukum with questions.
That's the setup.
Oh, I thought Gorisplukum was the punchline.
But by the time she gets to the official's office, she has forgotten the purpose of the visit.
Get out of here, old bitch, before I put bullet in head.
Was it about your pension, the official asks. No, I get 20 rubles a month. That's fine, she replies. About your apartment? No, I live with three people in one room of a commercial apartment. I'm fine. Suddenly, she remembers, who invented communism? The communists or scientists? The official responds proudly, why, the communists, of course. That's what I thought, she says. If the scientists had invented it, they would have tested it first on dogs. Well, these are CIA files.
Hey, I am having literally to hold stomach from pain of laughing.
Yes, yes, exactly. Okay, I noticed that, and I figured we might
notice or notice. Notice the Soviet humor.
Hey, you know what else I noticed?
What else is the noticer noticed?
That octopuses are solitary creatures.
Are they octopuses or octopi?
I don't know.
Both. I've never been able to figure this out. Is it both, Nick?
Or maybe it's just octopus. I'm not really sure.
One octopus?
What is plural of octopus?
Knock, knock.
Yeah, who's there?
Octopus.
Octopus who?
Banana. But eight of them.
The plural of octopus is octopuses. However, the word octopus comes from Greek, and the Greek plural form is octopodes.
Okay.
I never heard octopodes before.
Me neither.
If you give an octopus some molly, it'll probably ask for a cuddle.
What?
All right.
Did you
read
this?
No, I just saw the headline, and I thought maybe we would talk about it.
Yeah.
So I did not read the whole article.
So
the drug molly?
Yeah. Ecstasy.
Okay.
MDMA, as it's known, and they had devised an experiment to test the effects of MDMA on octopuses. The goal of this peculiar study in the journal of current biology wasn't just to see if octopuses could get high, but also to probe the evolutionary history of octopus behavior. Octopuses are known for being solitary, sometimes surly creatures, with one big exception. That's when it's time to mate. According to the new study authors, this behavioral shift suggests that octopuses may have some neural mechanism that suppresses antisocial behavior and amplifies sexual urges when love or at least reproduction is in the air. Incidentally, similar shifts in sociability are seen in humans who have taken Molly, MDMA. And that's because MDMA is an amphetamine that increases the production of several mood-regulating neurotransmitters in the brain, including serotonin, a chemical that helps regulate happiness, appetite, and sleep.
You know that octopuses are incredibly intelligent. And in fact, I saw a documentary that posed the notion that they would be the most likely species to evolve to exceed humans or succeed or whatever or kill us.
Wow. No, documentary was created by octopuses, right?
Yeah, actually, they shot the whole thing. But simply that they are very, very smart. And also they have an incredible ability to camouflage themselves.
So humans high in MDMA tend to be more social, more energetic, more empathetic, and more euphoric than they were in their sober state.
And we have less suction cups.
There are also many negative, sometimes permanent health effects. So before you think, hey, that sounds good to me.
So you're saying that the octopus is more likely to attend a rave?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
All right.
So could it be, the researchers wondered, that octopuses evolved with a similar serotonin uptake system that allows for the switching on and off of social behavior? Well, to test this, they first scoured the genome of octopus bimaculoids, which is commonly known as the California two-spot octopus, to confirm the presence of serotonin transmitter genes. Then they got several octopus test subjects high on Molly.
Wow.
Four male and four female octopuses, all sober, were placed one by one into a tank that divided into three compartments. One compartment always contained a stationary object, sometimes a plastic flower pot, sometimes a Chewbacca, a stormtrooper action figure. The middle compartment was always empty, and the final social compartment contained either an unfamiliar male or unfamiliar female octopus in a plastic cage. These caged octopuses would reach out and touch the other octopuses, but did not have enough room to leave the cage or start a fight.
Huh.
One at a time, the test octopuses were placed in the empty central chamber and allowed to explore the various rooms for 30 minutes. During these sessions, a majority of the test octopuses avoided the social chamber when an unfamiliar male octopus was caged there, so they didn't want to spend time.
Do you realize that in the course of an hour, you've talked about lobsters smoking pot and
octopuses
doing Molly?
Yeah.
There's a real problem down there.
All right, then researchers submerged each test octopus into a bath of artificial seawater mixed with liquefied MDMA. They soaked for about 10 minutes, absorbing the equivalent of a low oral dose directly into their bloodstream through their gills. Following this, each octopus mellowed out in a 20-minute saline bath and then proceeded back to the social testing tank within a few hours. Now, rolling on a modest dose of Molly.
Yeah.
The same octopuses
put on some Skrillex.
Were returned one by one to the test chamber and allowed another 30 minutes to explore. This time, each one spent significantly more time in the chamber with the caged octopuses than they did in the other chambers. According to the authors, the drugged octopuses also tended to hug the
cage. I'm so horny!
They also tended to hug the cage a lot and even rubbed it with their mouths, demonstrating the same sort of touchy-feeling compulsions of humans on MDMA.
That's interesting. Now, they are very complex, amazing creatures.
Yeah.
I mean, does it go on to talk about what they're like after, like, the high is worn off and all that sort of stuff?
A lot of regret.
Well, yeah, I mean, essentially, it's kind of what happens is that drug will amp up your serotonin levels and all that, but thus, afterwards, for, you know, a week or two afterwards, you're so depleted of that.
Right.
That you get depressed.
Well, then you wake up the next morning, you have to slowly slide your eight arms out from somebody you slept with.
So it says here, four of my arms
are still stuck.
She was laying on
four of my arms are still stuck under this bitch. I can't get out.
Coyote.
I don't know what I did last night.
She was octopi ugly.
Yeah, octopi ugly. I mean, I was out in a van with a couple of lobsters. We were taking a couple of hits.
So here you go. The brains of octopuses are more similar to those of snails than humans.
I did not know that.
But they said our studies add to evidence that they can exhibit some of the same behaviors that we can.
Hmm.
It suggests that in certain brain chemicals or neurotransmitters that send signals between neurons required for these social behaviors are evolutionarily conserved.
So think about
what the hell does all this mean?
In this documentary, it means that it's now just Duncan Preston.
Okay.
I would say they showed them. I wish I could remember. I think it was Nat Geo that had it. But they would evolve into land-based creatures that would, when you have multiple appendages, you can multitask and, you know.
But I love watching those things attack other animals.
Or open a jar, figure out how to open up a jar. Do your taxes.
Fascinating stuff to watch, yes.
I think if you itemize this year, you're going to be better off. But you cannot claim this as an office unless you use it as an office.
This suggests that now I have a vision of an octopus with like glasses on.
Sure.
And
he can type.
And type.
Yeah.
He can write off a bit of your cable bill, but not all of it.
He can fill out the forms and do the calculator all at the same time.
This suggests that serotonin has served as a social function in living creatures for a long, long, long time and points to an ancient root of an extremely important neurotransmitter. That's why they did.
Look at, here's an octopus freeing itself from a closed jar.
It's pretty awesome.
That's wild, man.
I was terrified of those creatures for a little while. Because,
until one moved in next door.
Well, no, because 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea got attacked by a giant octopus, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that was the ride that I went on in Disney World at like 3 years old, and I don't remember a whole lot from that time.
It was a squid, but it had the tentacles and everything.
Well,
yeah.
if you see like with the giant squid and the sperm whale, that is a legend. They're legendary combatants in the deep, deep ocean.
Yeah,
you know,
and every now and then one of those giant squid will wash up on the ocean, and it's I don't think they've ever actually seen them in the wild.
Not alive.
Yeah. Because they're so deep.
Yep.
But when you see them washed up on the beach, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's video of what looks like a giant squid. Maybe they have. Maybe it depends on a certain size. Maybe they've never gotten to, Nick. But they're unbelievable. They're so cool.
All right. So the word octopus made me think of something. Can I just do a quick little jut off of a...
Subnoticer.
Subnoticer?
Yeah. What about?
Because the word puss... made me think of, you know, when you think of somebody who is a coward, one might call them a pussy.
Yes.
And what I learned and had to do a little bit more research on after watching an episode of Kidding with Jim Carrey is that the word pussy has nothing to do with what you might think it has to do. Yes. It actually is, it comes from the word pusillanimous.
Pusillanimous.
And
a coward.
Exactly, showing a lack of courage or determination. So I had no idea that that's...
You know what, Casey? I never put that together as well. I just
thought it was a kitten reference, you know?
Right, you would think,
tiny little wee, you know?
Yeah, so there's no relation between woman's genitals and a coward. It comes from pusillanimous, and it might have something to do with it, with a cat. You know, because it goes all the way back to, like, old...
That was a good sub-noticer, I have
Thank
to say.
You. Yeah. Interesting.
Was not aware of that. He did it.
He did it. A sub-noticer. Put this one in the yes column.
All right. I noticed that he made a genital reference.
The noticer noticed a genital reference by the sub-noticer.
I did. And iPhone has the new iPhones have a measure app.
Really?
Which it looks really cool because what you can do is if you want to, you can take a picture of, let's say you need... a certain size object for your home or something that's got to fit in a certain spot. You can take a picture of it. You can do measurements on it.
You don't even need. You don't need to take a picture. It's actually live. They bought the app. I've had this app for a while. And
so you have to get the app.
No. Now it comes. It's part of the phone.
Yep.
But Kathy and I always forget what the goddamn icon looks like for the app. Let me see. Here it is. Okay. So here it is. So in live, you see as I'm doing this here. All right, so you're gonna pick an area, and then you. So I'm gonna do that. See that I've hit the part. The wait, you son of a. There we go. All right, now if I move it across.
Hey, Preston.
See that? Hey, doing?
He's just showing you.
Seven, 8 inches. You see that?
Yeah.
And if I stop it there, that's how long it is.
So you don't need a ruler to measure your junk anymore.
No, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, really?
The new feature, which debuted with the iOS 12 on Monday, allows users to measure items on screen in real time. This means that it's easier than ever to determine the exact length of your genitals.
Ah, so people are using it for D-picks.
People are using it for D-picks.
No. All the good work that this sub-noticer just did is over.
It's okay. So anyhow, but you can use it for practical things like measuring a piece of furniture.
It works really well. I've been using this program for a while, and I've been using it just to, you know, and it's, and I tried it, Preston, just to hold it up to a regular tape measure. I measured something and measured it with the tape measure. It was spot on.
I still wouldn't trust it.
Yeah.
I'd do it for ballpark numbers.
Yeah, sure.
But if it were coming down to cutting a piece of wood or carpet or something like that, there's no way I would trust it.
I think my problem with it is just a resistance to want to use my phone for everything. Well, I can use a measuring tape just as well. And I get the convenience, and I totally understand it. I just I use the phone for so much already that I need to get away from screens from time to time, for maps, for measuring, or for whatever.
Right. To your point, Preston, though, the issue is, even though you can measure with the phone, you can't make a mark on it. So if you're measuring something to cut it, or you're going to, you know, you're trying to see how it fits in, or you can't make a mark and see, okay, that's it.
Or how many times have you measured? You go, okay, that's 29 inches by 45. And, okay, wait.
You have a big,
what was it again?
Big
was
junk.
It, right, was right. it 29 or let me measure it again. Let me remember that number again.
The good thing about it is if you're doing something around the house and I'm just like, I got to go get a damn tape measure. Where the hell is that thing? You know,
well, that so was
you got
the,
it
yeah.
in your you got it in your pocket.
Where's your tape measure right now? Do you know?
In my toolbox.
Is
but,
it? Okay.
But I've got them scattered
Did
around
Did you want to try
house.
It?
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you where it's going to be good, where it'll be good, though. Like, for me, you guys are talking actually in the house. I'm thinking I'm at Home Goods, and I find a picture for the wall, and I, you know, not sure if I should buy it or not.
Yep, same thing.
Kind of take the measurements that way, because that doesn't need to be exact.
For example, I know this pen is 5.5 inches long now. That's something I didn't know when
you
I
You didn't know that
before.
Where is
before?
The damn app? I can't find it.
Is it, you have the new phone? Is that the new phone?
Yeah, let me see. Can you show me where the app is?
No, this is in the new, this will come resident in the new phones, or is it?
How do you have it?
Is it in the most recent software update?
It's in the most, it's in.
Let's do that in the commercial.
Okay. It says here, it debuted with iOS 12.
Okay, so I already had the ruler. It was already part of it. It's an app that I have, and they just incorporated that into the new
Correct.
Operating system.
Yes, exactly.
Is it worth doing the download?
It is.
So I heard bad things.
Well, there was reviews that there were like bad things happening with. Oh, well, you know what?
Bad
though?
Things come to those who touch.
No, it was the same thing that it always is. It was affecting the battery life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But
that's life
listen.
Sucks anyway,
how are you going to be extorted into buying a new phone if you don't download the new update?
Right. I downloaded it. I don't hate it.
You know, it was
the,
fine.
The new operating
okay.
system, it's okay, but there's some stuff on there I don't know yet. You know, I'll eventually figure it out. All right, I noticed just one more thing.
One more thing?
I think so.
From the noticer.
Yeah, and that'll do it. Because we're talking about phones, I figured we'd stick with that. The next time you're told to put your phone in airplane mode, remember this, you don't actually have to. At least that's what EasyJet pilot Chris Foster is saying. He claims that technology is so much more advanced now that it no longer is necessary to switch off your phone during any part of your flight. This is according to a pilot. This is not an airline
saying
this. No.
However, though, I had my measuring app up on a flight recently, and I was able to make the plane land with my phone.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's pretty impressive. I don't know why you don't need it, why you need it not in airplane, because you can't do anything anyway. So it's like,
well, you know, if a plane has, well, the reason why you also know they have Wi-Fi now on in-flight, you know, as an in-flight service.
I'm not willing to pay for Wi-Fi.
But there are times, you know, when you put your phone away and you forgot to turn it off and it's not in airplane mode and everything's fine.
Yeah. Right.
Foster said it is, in reality, nothing to be concerned about. Aircraft control systems are so sophisticated now that they wouldn't cause any interference. The regulations date back many years to when we didn't even have things like iPads. The laws are starting to be relaxed. You can now use your devices in flight safety mode. And I think we'll see more changes coming over the next few years.
Do you know what they did? And it's something that was just brilliant. They actually started putting jamming devices in the luggage plane that follows the regular plane.
Mm. Oh, the luggage plane has that now.
How come is it so expensive, the wireless? It's like $25, right?
The Wi-Fi?
Yeah, the Wi-Fi, and if you're on a plane.
Because they got you.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Because you can't live without your phone, and you can charge you $25.
That's why I bring my landline.
Yeah, you really?
Yeah. Just a lot of cord.
It's the cord hangs off the luggage plane.
I'll tell you this.
It connects the two planes.
It's also when you have it, and I've sprung for it a few times if I just wanted to do the deal. It's always lower power.
Sketchy.
Streaming is not all that good. Yeah. So
it goes in and out.
It's not the most reliable.
Yeah. All right. Those are all the things that I noticed more, but I don't have time.
The noticer doesn't have enough time, but he'll be back to notice more.
That's right.
At a future date.
In the meantime, I'd like to give away a $50 gift card to Stinger's Waterfront Grill, and you can be calling number 7 at 215-263-WMMR, and I'm going to set you up. Casey's going to be there tomorrow night.
Don't eat before you go down and have the food there because it's excellent.
I'm enjoying the chili.
You're going to have a great... Yeah, the chili's fantastic.
And they have awesome happy hours, by the way, Monday through Friday with discounted drinks and apps. And they also have private banquet rooms and off-premise catering available all year round. Casey will be there tomorrow night. Bud Light Philly Philly Tour taking place. Win some tickets. Have a good time at 7 to 9 tomorrow at Stinger's Waterfront. And caller number 7, you get the pass. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. What better way to get back into the swing of things than with a relaxing massage or rejuvenating facial? With 50 locations right in this area, you're sure to find a relaxing spa experience. Introductory services are just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready for love and ready to get engaged? Visit Steven Singer Jewelers. Whether your budget is $500 or $5,000, Steven's Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring Collection has your perfect ring at the perfect price. Visit Steven at the other corner of 8th and Walnut or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Nick, you were pointing at Gritty here on our website.
Yeah, it was interesting to me because I think he was the most Google searched item on the interwebs yesterday was Gritty. Wow. People were searching all over for him, and I don't know how long this lightning in a bottle will last, but the fact that it was our mascot that he was here yesterday was I found fascinating.
We were won over by him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think we all decided, at least I did, the initial exposure, the initial video, they lit him from below, which made him look psychotic and serial killer-ish. So, but when you see him in person, yeah. I think everyone had the same reaction. Yeah. Totally fine and a good personality, and I think a good companion to the fanatic.
But people were reacting so one way or the other, and people were still angry about it. Like, I was like, you guys realize this is just a goofy mascot, right? Like, it's not anything to really get angry about.
By the way, mission accomplished.
Yes.
You want to get pressed for the team, and you want to get Good Morning America all over the place. I think Comedy Central had stuff.
Yeah, Daily Show.
Daily Show. Yeah. It was all over the place.
He also, he's one of the... most followed already on Twitter.
Yes.
Mascots, which is crazy because there have been mascots that have been around for a long, long time that that he's really, really creeping up on. I would say the only thing I don't really like about Gritty is his name.
Okay.
I wish I, you know.
Grittens. You wish you Grittens. Were in on the decision making or the creative kick around?
I almost said that, but no.
Okay.
But, you know,
maybe they had done a poll or something like that.
Something.
Marissa?
Yeah, there's a new album up on PrestonSteve.com. Great for any new memes anyone wants to make.
All right.
Lots and lots of photos.
He's got 24,500 on Instagram already with only two posts.
Wow. All right, so he's off to a good start.
Did our video make the rounds, the interns?
I'm putting it up right now. All right,
okay. Yeah, you got to see this video. It's great of Gritty in our green room. Here's something to be pissed off about. I was watching 6ABC this morning. I think it was Karen Rogers was pointing out a stat.
Yes.
That for the past month, 62% of the days have been overcast.
Wow. Oh my
to put God. That into perspective, in Seattle, which is known for dreary conditions.
The legend.
33% of the days have been overcast.
Twice.
I'm sick of it. I've had it. Yeah. I'm tired of it.
I am feeling, this is not, I mean, seasonal disorder usually occurs around, February and March, the cabin fever months. However,
it's happening.
If you don't get to see the sun, I feel that you're forever, there's just, and today is even worse because you're going to get the high
90s. Yeah, it's going to be hot.
It's going to be humid. Knock it off!
I know. Yeah. It's insanely depressing.
It takes its toll. And I think people start to get, obviously, you know, you're getting agitated. We all are. It's like,
I'm in a funk.
Yeah.
You know?
And normally, like, I usually have a pretty good attitude about the weather. Because it could be worse, right? Could be in California in drought conditions or
locusts.
Locust or whatever. And obviously,
the river could be running red with blood.
We need rain. It is a important part of daily life. It's necessary. But, like, I've had enough.
Yeah, quit it.
I told you guys earlier, I had a conversation with both my brothers, and they both had a different perspective about the rain. And Christopher, for whatever reason, he was like, I love it. He's like, it doesn't bother me. I don't mind waking up and it being dark still in my room. He's like, I love driving to work.
Which brother saved your father's life?
The other one.
Yeah, right? I think I'm going to side with him.
Yeah, but he said, he's like, I don't mind driving to work, listening to the rain, and having like a hot cup of coffee. Like, to him, it would just, I don't know.
I don't mind it occasionally. I don't mind overcast and brisk and autumnal with the leaves falling down, and that's fine.
Not 60%.
But constant.
Yeah.
Like, there were about four times yesterday I had the leash. I was ready to go out and do the hike with the dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
I turned around, and then it wasn't like raining. It was a downpour.
Yeah. Would it help if we had, you know, people of different faiths call in and give a short prayer or something like that on air? We could have, like, you know, yeah. From various
a rabbi, a priest, a mom,
whoever.
They call go into now. An Applebee's.
We'll keep it short. Of any bizarre faith, voodoo, whatever.
Yes. Right. Santeria.
Santeria.
Satan worshippers. We don't care.
Come on.
Something.
Animists.
215-263-WMMR.
Atheists. Go ahead.
Sure. Why not? A handful of words. Maybe if we get the full collective going here, broadcasting in our region, we'll see a little bit of daylight.
Well, you remember, it's like the Woodstock. Oh. You know what I mean? No rain. And what happened? It rained like a bastard.
Yeah. Like hell, yeah.
We're still we're still a few days away, but it does look like the weekend's going to be nice.
Yeah. They've been saying that.
I know. That's why I don't believe it.
Dude, Last night, I'm watching Jeopardy. Sorry, Case, just to jump in here.
Yeah.
Jeopardy. What happens? I mean, Jeopardy. Jeopardy's my solitude at 7 o'clock. Friggin' tornado warning comes in, cuts in, eats up about 10-12 minutes of Jeopardy.
In our area?
It was in New Jersey.
Central Jersey, yeah. Steve, I was watching it as well, and so I flipped through the channels. They were doing it on ABC, where Jeopardy is, but they were doing it on CBS and on Fox. So it was serious.
And
Adam Joseph, by the way, that dude knows his weather.
He does, and he was very casual. You could see his battery pack because his jacket was off.
He took his tie off.
Yeah.
He loves the weather.
He loves the weather.
The commercial with his mom.
I remember him. He just loved the weather.
Weather.
Yeah. I sat in that rain all day on Sunday.
Should have gone inside.
I was at an Eagles game.
Oh.
And so there wasn't a whole lot I could do about that.
I looked miserable.
Well, I was, at least I was, I looked like the Gordon's fisherman, right? So I had a full-on yellow rain suit on. And
a large hook.
But my pants split midway through the fourth quarter.
How did that happen?
It wasn't big enough for me to begin with. And it actually wasn't.
Why did you wear restrictive pants to a sporting event where you're going to be?
Well, I wore rainproof pants to a sporting event. And actually,
So you need to buy some new rainproof pants.
Yeah, the material itself wasn't that sturdy. So
I wouldn't say don't. You're out and about and hiking and you're making changes.
I'm not. It's not necessarily a fat joke. It's just simply. It wasn't big enough.
I have good rain gear.
I need better rain gear.
I'm a golfer, so you got to have rain gear. So I got lots of rain gear. So I just want some sunshine.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
I see blue sky.
It starts to make you depressed. On Saturday, when I was doing my second round of Halloween prep decorations, I had the garage door up, and it was nice, and it was overcast. It wasn't a perfect day, but it's what you crave.
All right, so we got born again Christian and atheist. We need Catholic. We need a Jewish
rabbi.
You don't have to be official.
No, you can just pretend. Or just lie.
You can just pretend.
Listen, pretend Pope can call.
You can represent if you like. And 215-263-WMMR. Go to these calls in just a second.
I'm looking forward to pretend Pope.
I think we're gonna get one.
Guys suck.
Yeah.
I had to take my mom to the airport last night, and we were loading her in and out of the car at the exact moment where the heaviest downpours were happening.
Of course.
So getting her bag out of her car and then into mine and driving down. But there was actually some pretty bad flooding on the Blue Route back and forth, and there were people that were trying to get through it, and that's how intense the downpours were for a little bit. So it's just... fortunately, though, her flight out was not delayed. I was surprised. I thought it was going to be...
I don't know how the hell that happened.
I know.
Here you go. I'll lead with a Viking when somebody texts it in. Odin, guide our ships and axes, spears, and swords. Guide us through storms that whip and in brutal war.
I like that.
There you go. Step one. All right, let me go to Ed. Yeah. Hi, Ed, good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Ed here, it says you're a born-again Christian.
Yeah, I'm one of those Bible...
That's okay. You can help us if you give us sun.
give us a nice brief prayer for good weather.
Sure. Lord, we just thank you for the weather, God. You make the sun shine on the righteous and the wicked. Father, we just pray for a blessing of beautiful weather. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, there you
go. Okay. Thank you. Amen. Man of faith.
That's one done. Appreciate it. We're going to go through a few different ones. Let me go to Frank, who is Jewish. Hi, Frank. Good morning.
Hey, what's happening?
Yo, bud. All right, Frank, you got a little short prayer for good weather here?
I only know the one for the wine and the bread.
Hey, yeah, do the wine and the bread. Same thing. And just change bread to sun.
I grew up on the other side of the boulevard.
Change bread to sun.
Doesn't matter. Go ahead. Right. Go for it.
Wine and sun.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech hu olam asher kiddushinu bat mitzvoso.
There you go.
Son,
I just made you a helicopter.
All right, let me go to... You made me a helicopter?
That's the old Don Rickles joke.
Okay, all right, let me go to Zach. Hey, Zach, good morning.
Good morning, how you doing?
Good. All right, it says, Zach, you're an atheist?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So give us your atheist prayer.
In the name of nothing, make this rain go away.
There it is.
All right, thank you, Zach. In the name of nothing. Yes, it's just a common... plea for the rain to go away. Or shall we say, rain, go away.
Come again another day. Like a month or so. And by the way, Zach, it had said on the screen, it says here, deal with it. Just deal with it. I will go to Mary. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Wonderful. And Mary, oddly enough, is a Catholic.
Okay.
Mary. All right, Mary, you have a little weather prayer for us?
Hail Mary, full of grace, please take the rain away from this place.
It's a riff.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mary. Hey, Steve, we have a Scientologist on the line. This is Jeff.
Let her rip.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing? Hey, Jeff?
Oh, they got to him.
Oh, no.
They got to him.
He's talking to Xenu. Jeff, are you there? Is your name Jeff?
I'm hearing something. I think the phone is breaking up.
Or is it Ron?
Jeff?
He's listening to the radio.
We just had her.
Oh, okay. Damn it.
All right.
Remember that?
Maybe he was speaking telepathically.
It does happen. Yeah. Listen, I'll take anything.
Yeah, anything at all. What's that, Nick? What do you have here?
Some good news.
All right. Here's a text that says, it's working. Sun is coming out in Middletown, Delaware.
Oh.
It's starting to happen.
The power of broadcast radio.
That must be what it is. Yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see. So anyhow, thank you for your prayers. We'll continue those if you want. Here comes the sun. Look at
such
that.
Such a great song.
It is a beautiful song. I've learned how to play a little bit of this on the ukulele.
Oh, yeah?
Ukulele.
Sorry. Ukulele.
Did you see that kid?
Oh, my God.
Playing a piece. Do we have that audio?
Classical Gas.
Yeah, which is I've always loved. Is a piece from like the 70s.
This kid's got to be six, seven years old, maybe.
Yeah, we're talking a little kid.
And I mean shredding on the ukulele.
Taught himself to play.
When did this come over?
A couple days ago. Steve just sent it to me, I think.
I think I sent the audio. We don't have it.
All right, Marissa says no, she hasn't seen it. But he is absolutely ripping it up. He is amazingly talented. And then I sent a video this morning of this little girl singing the national anthem.
Yeah.
And that was in an LA Galaxy?
It was.
She's tiny, itty-bitty girl with this gigantic voice on her.
She's great.
And she really goes for it.
It was like a YouTube contest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that was the deal, and people submitted to sing the national anthem.
All right, Marissa had that.
All right.
We can hear some of it. I'll fast forward to the part where she really gets into it. Or do you want to hear the whole thing? I don't know. It's a minute long or 2 minutes long. This is her.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed?
I mean, she's tiny,
yeah,
little bitty girl.
Last gleaming, whose bright stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. Oh, the ramparts we watched were so gallant. dreaming. And the rockets are escalating.
They're shooting at her.
The bomb is bursting and
I love her.
Oh my, I'm backing that up. Listen to that.
Did you hear her say thank you?
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
She's seven.
Little slight accent. Little, thank you. It's just adorable.
Thank you.
Oh,
she's
my
tiny.
God.
Yeah.
And that voice came out of a seven-year-old.
Absolutely unbelievable.
So cute.
Wow. Excellent. And then what does this say? I don't know what this is.
It says go to hell.
No, it's
Malia
that guy.
Emma singing Creep and playing piano too.
Oh.
That's this little girl?
That's this girl?
Okay. Oh. I thought it was the ukulele dude.
Okay. You want to hear a little? This is the...
I don't give it up. Well, I want to have control. What a perfect body.
A perfect body.
Yeah, I want a perfect soul. I want you to notice when I'm not around.
He's got all the tools.
You're so very special. I wish I was special.
Got like a honky-tonk delivery.
Yeah. Awesome.
She's playing the piano too?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is great.
Just run.
Oh my God. Wow.
Run.
Play her version of Roundabout.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. That's...
And you know they did.
And we do have the Ute kid if you want to hear a little of that.
Okay. This is Preston's Kitty Corner.
And this kid is probably similar in age to this girl. And listen to a little bit of this. It's much better when you can see this his age and just the shredding that he does. But here's a little bit of it.
I hate him.
people just, it's just easy for them. It's
yeah.
It makes sense. You know, there's that line from Good Will Hunting where he goes, you know, he's talking about Beethoven and he says, you know, it just, he looked at that piano and it made sense to him. And
that's really it.
They just have it.
It's a level that we can't understand. But at that age, I will remind you, I won a McDonald's coloring contest.
That is correct.
Yeah.
It was a hamburger, right?
It was about the history of the hamburger.
Okay.
And I colored in
the hamburger?
The Germans actually making the first hamburger.
Seriously?
And then I won a book about the history of the hamburger.
I knew all I didn't know the details of that.
It was a huge score.
The Germans?
Yeah. From Hamburg.
Creating.
Yeah.
The first hamburger.
Right.
That's great.
It was an incredible story.
What a talent.
Yeah, similar. Yeah. But no YouTube video to capture that moment.
No.
Yeah. And I stayed inside the lines in every bit of it.
Oh, good job.
I won that coloring contest, fair and square.
All right. Well, anyhow, these might be your rays of sunshine today. These little bit of performances from these kids, the future.
Return to the children.
Of our world. And the girls.
I believe that children are our future.
Yes. So it was Malia Emma is her name, who's the sang the national anthem and did the creep playing the piano and singing as well. Anyhow,
I'm sorry, I have something out of order here.
Okay.
Because you're about to hit a button.
Oh, I was going to hit a button, and it would have hit the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I can do while you're prepping that button, Casey, is I can offer up the very last giveaway that we have from Stinger's Waterfront. And I have two of these $50 gift cards, and we'll take callers 11 and 12 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will set you up with these. And don't forget that Casey is going to be there tomorrow night. Now, they have two great locations. The original spot in Seacane and the waterfront location where Casey's going to be tomorrow night. And that's right off of the water on 95 in Ridley Park. And easy to find tomorrow, 7 to 9. Casey will be there and your chance to win some Eagles tickets and some other good stuff. So two callers, 215-263-WMMR. We'll take a break and we'll come back in just a moment or two. And I still got some B-File stories that I think you might want to hear. They're on the way next.
Wednesday from 6 to 8, Marissa Magnata rocks the newest and only brewery in King of Prussia, Workhorse Brewing Company. Featuring 24 handcrafted beers, a full bar with specialty draft wines, ciders, and cocktails, plus rotating food trucks and 5 65-inch UHD TVs. This is your beer made right. Visit workhorsebrewing.com.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
Don't worry, Kathy. The pronunciation police will be texting you shortly.
No, I literally...
Do it again. I just got one. And I quote, it's tinnitus, dummy.
Tinnitus.
You can pronounce it either way.
But listen, hold on.
It's tinnitus or tinnitus. It doesn't matter. Either way, I can't hear squat.
It's Caseta by Lutron. So it's a smart lighting company, Caseta by Lutron.
Well, if it's any consolation, the first time you mentioned that, I ordered 12 of them.
Okay, well, good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So, you know, take it for what it's worth.
Exactly.
It worked for me.
Bizarre File? Anyone?
Why not?
All around?
Yeah. Order up.
Order up. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by Bates Motel. This Halloween, get to the number one rated haunted hayride in America. At the Bates Motel in Glen Mills. 3 heart-pounding attractions. Discount coupons at Dunkin' Donuts. Or you can buy tickets at thebatesmotel.com. This is a terrible story. This idiot, listen to this. A good Samaritan who pulled over on a highway to assist a car that appeared to be stranded was struck and killed by another driver who then took off in the victim's car.
Oh, my God.
Killed the guy and stole his car. So
what? There's just no... what do you say about that?
Dimitri Andoni of Clearwater, Florida, was heading north on Interstate 275. He noticed a car that had lost control and had come to a stop on the highway's median. So he stopped to help people in the vehicle who were able to drive away shortly after Andini pulled over. While he was walking back to his Hyundai, Andini was hit and killed by a Ford F-150, allegedly driven by Dana Thomas Bird. Bird got out of his car, walked up to Andonini's body, discovered the man was dead, and then Bird allegedly drove off in the Hyundai, leaving his own truck and Andoni's body behind.
Was this guy drunk?
I don't know. He later also abandoned Andoni's car at a parking lot. The following day, after Andoni's father contacted police about his missing son, officers found Bird's abandoned F-150 and Andoni's body, so they tracked the guy down and they arrested him. He was charged with grand theft of a motor vehicle and leaving the scene of a crash involving a death. So I'm guessing the guy hit him by accident and then decided
panicked.
Stealing his car was the thing to do.
This is how I can fix it.
Wow, man.
You know what, though? That's it's just when you do pull over to the side or you want to help somebody or you're trying to do that, you got to be very careful. It's because there is an actually they've proven it that sometimes when people are driving down the highway and they look at something to the side of the road, they will actually just passively steer into it
in that direction.
So you got to watch out.
Yep. A Florida man is accused of running around naked and swearing and yelling at people to look at his genitals while in a Chick-fil-A parking lot.
Florida man, Florida man.
Check out these waffle fries.
Corey Hatzel, 30 years old, was arrested Monday morning after a woman called authorities saying that Hatzel was chasing her boyfriend and trying to fight him. The woman received a call from her boyfriend who was riding his bike at a Winn-Dixie when Hatzel started chasing
My boyfriend
chasing
has a bike.
Well, I think they're young.
Oh.
So the woman said that when she and her boyfriend arrived at the Chick-fil-A, Hatzel tried to fight her boyfriend and then started to take off his clothes. Officials said Hatzel kept yelling at the woman's boyfriend, "You're gay for looking at my penis.
You're gay for looking at my penis at the Chick-fil-A parking lot." He's older, Preston.
Yes. When deputies arrived, this is the guy that was arrested.
Yeah.
When deputies arrived, Hatzel had dried blood on his nose and would not tell authorities his name.
If I were to see a naked guy running around a Chick-fil-A parking lot, I would have to look.
Officials said Hatzel yelled at multiple vehicles driving by to look at his genitals while authorities tried to get him to put shorts on.
They all must have been gay.
Hatzel is charged with obstruction by not cooperating with authorities. The woman and her boyfriend did not press charges for indecent exposure.
On a side note, they have a hell of a chicken sandwich.
A shocked visitor to a zoo in Denmark captured video of a man who climbed into the elephant enclosure, prompting an aggressive response from the animals. The video shows a man in the elephant enclosure at Copenhagen Zoo on Thursday attempting to approach the elephants, leading the animals to form a protective barrier between him and a calf.
Oh my God.
Yeah, right?
The
elephants stamp aggressively as a warning toward the man, who initially does not seem worried by their behavior. This guy has no idea how close to death he was. The pachyderms eventually chase the man out of the enclosure, and he flees the area before he can be detained by zoo security.
Wow.
A Tennessee woman says that she feels lucky to be alive after major surgery. She said, "I'm just amazed and shocked." This is Ashley Walden. What was diagnosed as a benign ovarian cyst 5 years ago grew to an enormous size. Last week, Dr. Shana Dowell removed the 20-pound cyst.
20 pounds?
Yeah, from Walden's belly. She looked pregnant. I saw pictures of her beforehand. Walden said she regrets not taking steps to end the pain sooner and wants others to learn from her mistake. And now she is focused on recovering and living a healthy life. A former New Mexico priest who fled the United States decades ago amid allegations of child sex abuse and once blamed his behavior on a cancer diagnosis, which prosecutors say he didn't have, is scheduled to appear in court on Tuesday. Arthur Peralt is expected to appear in Albuquerque for detention hearing.
He just has to hit the Chick-fil-A parking lot.
As prosecutors seek to hold the 80-year-old priest until his trial for aggravated sexual abuse.
Oh, my God.
So this stuff happened years ago, which I'm glad they're getting these guys who got away with it a long time ago. Victims describe Peralt showering them with gifts and meals before abusing them. Victims also collaboratively describe Peralt as someone who smoked pipes and wore silk underwear.
Well, the victims never get freed of what these guys have done to them.
Documents also said the Connecticut-born Peralt wrote an apology letter to the parents of one victim in 1971 and blamed his actions on cancer, which prosecutors said he was never diagnosed with. He was extradited to New Mexico last week from Morocco, so he had fled the country.
Ugh.
Now they're going to hold him to task. A puppet technician with the Broadway production of The Lion King was using a 3D printer to print a gun at the theater where The Lion King is held.
I'm a puppet technician.
Yeah. Officers were called to Manhattan's Minskoff Theater on Friday, where they say they found 47-year-old puppet technician Ilya Vett in the process of printing a handgun.
3D printing a handgun.
Yeah. Officer James Taylor says that when he arrived at a production and prop room for the musical, he saw a 3D printer producing a hard black plastic object shaped like a revolver, in that the object has a hand grip and a pointed snub-nose nozzle, and an empty space where it is customary for a cylinder holding live rounds of ammunition to be placed.
Do they use those to train the puppet lions?
Maybe. Printed guns have been in the headlines recently as several states moved to block a Texas-based company from posting and selling plans for the guns online. Last month, a federal judge in Seattle granted a preliminary injunction preventing the publication of online blueprints for the guns. Vet was arrested and charged with attempted criminal possession of a firearm. And he had told the detective he was making the gun as a gift for his brother, who lives upstate and has a firearms license. Vet said the 3D printer was his own, and he had brought it to work because his own workshop was too dusty.
It's too dusty. You know. Can't be 3D printing guns in a dusty environment.
No, the defendant reportedly explained that he found the plans for the gun online and
I'm going to bring this to work.
And downloaded them to a memory card. Right?
What? Come on!
He probably did it so his wife wouldn't see it or something like that.
Oh, I'm going to catch heck now.
All right.
You dummy.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right. Let's give away some Dorney Park passes. We cool with that, Case?
Yeah, man.
You've got to go.
Wait, no.
Huh?
Secret text word.
Secret
what?
Text word.
Hey.
Yeah, I apologize.
You just gave me whiplash.
I'm sorry. We need to do that so I don't tie up the phone lines for the stuff that's coming up next. So, Kathy,
mm-hmm.
we're taking a commercial break. Give yeah. me a number caller for the secret text word.
Caller number 2.
Oh, stop it.
Dude, why do you do that?
Fine. You did it. You got
to
go with
it. You did it to yourself, Preston. Yeah. You did it to yourself. You only have yourself to blame and Kathy.
All right. 215-263-WMMR. Caller number 2. You're going to be on hold for a while.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a moment.
Enjoy the commercials.
We'll get the lesson question and more. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Mighty Mighty Boss Tones on 93.3 WMMR, and the impression that I get, it is 4 minutes after 10 o'clock. Another chance at the birthday bucks coming up at 11 o'clock. Actually, there's 4 more chances today alone. Just the next chance coming up at 11 a.m. Get yourself set. Pierre Robert is going to have that for you in less than an hour. Speaking of winning, we were looking for a secret text number caller, and Kathy said number 2. So we're going to go and talk to Kyle, who's been on hold for 15 minutes. Hey, Kyle, are you there?
Oh, am I finally on?
Yes! Kyle, if you give me the secret text word, I will give you the prize. What is it?
Action.
Action, that's it. Hang on a second, Kyle, because we're going to set you up with 4 movie tickets from Fandango. Make every night movie night. Head to Fandango and reserve tickets to see Night School, Smallfoot, and Hellfest.
This is great.
If your plans change, refund, or exchange tickets with Fandango VIP, head to Fandango now. And we also have a random texter, and it was Anthony Dusso, who is from Philadelphia, and he gets the movie tickets from Fandango as well. So congratulations to you. This is the theme to Werenberg Theaters, which was a local chain in St. Louis. And if you were a kid and you went to the movie theaters, you really loved when this song came on because the movie was about to start.
And there were very similar things at all theater chains at that time. Coming attractions.
Here's the end of it. It's coming up. So this is where they give the name of the theater.
Yeah.
The big horn ending here.
Now shut up!
We're going to do the lesson question. And for the correct answer, we're going to give away a pair of sweet tickets and parking passes to join Jackie Bam Bam and Nick McWayne, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race Dover International Speedway on October 7th. Question I have for you has to be this. Finish the Rocky joke. Knock, knock, who's there? Orange, orange who? 215-263-WMMR. Okay, knock, knock, who's there? Orange, orange who? You give me the punchline. 215-263-WMMR. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what you got for us today, man?
Well, Lindsay Lohan's mother, Dina Lohan, has filed for bankruptcy, declaring that she owes $1.5 million. Dina says the most devastating part of the situation is that she now makes Michael Lohan look like a success.
Yeah. Oh, she.
David Schwimmer and Deborah Messing have reportedly carried their Will and Grace on-screen romance off-screen. Friends close to the couple say they are still in that magical early phase, with each of them trying to figure out who's more annoying.
Oh, durka, durka, durka.
And finally, in a bit of stark irony, this is true, Bill Cosby spent his first hours in prison eating pudding as part of his dinner. A corrections officer warned Cosby, though, that in prison, a pudding pop is something that usually happens in the shower.
Oh, wow.
And that's it. Hollywood Trash.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's see if somebody knows the answer to this. Knock, knock, who's there? Orange, orange, who? I will go to Anthony. Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
Darka, darka, darka.
Darka. All right. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange. Oh, wait a minute. You, then I would end up giving the answer. Orange who?
Banana.
Yeah, banana. That's like the one where you turn it around and somebody, hey, I got a great knock-knock joke. Okay, say neck-knock. Knock. Knick-knock?
Knick-knack.
Nap-nap.
Nap-nap.
Anthony's a winner.
Knack-knock.
He's there. Orange.
Anthony, you're going to go with Nick and Jackie to the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoff race, Dover International Speedway. That's October 7th. Now, NASCAR returns to Dover October 5th through the 7th, and tickets start at $50. Kids' tickets are just $10. You can get yours at DoverSpeedway.com. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
It's brought to you by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologist will help you hear your best. Info at salusuhealth.com/PEI. So I have a variety of stories for you. I even have an audio clip that we're going to play this morning in music. We can get right to that if you want.
Sure.
All right. So Bradley Cooper has been doing the rounds as far as interviews go with A Star Is Born. And by the way, we never did get the Marissa quick interview audio from 2 weeks ago now, I think it was. But we have it somewhere. Anyhow, he said Bradley Cooper says that Eddie Vedder helped him in his singing for the movie.
Well, he sort of modeled his character after Eddie Vedder.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. What?
That would be a tough room to decide in.
All right.
Who do you go for?
Here is here's him talking about that.
You know, Eddie, who was a friend of mine, man, he was so wonderful. I went up to Seattle and I spent 4 or 5 days with him, and I asked him 9,000 questions, and he gave me all minor little things that only musicians know about what to do just aesthetically and like what the inner workings. And he was wonderful, and I would send him songs that I was working on. And yeah, he's a wonderful friend, and he was a big, big champion.
Oh, I did not know that.
How about that? Yeah,
some input.
Apparently everyone's friends with Eddie Vedder.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick kind of friends with him.
I want to be best friends with both those guys.
Yeah. But anyhow.
Nick, this was Nick McElwain. Nick, did you hear it's just Duncan now?
This is him on stage sharing a very, intimate thing between the two of you there.
Yeah.
He wanted to make sure that you knew
exactly
that they're switching over to Duncan.
Well, I wouldn't want you to be embarrassed, in general conversation.
We're BFFs. So Marissa was saying about this movie that the music is just second to none. Like, it's beginning to end, that you almost feel like you're at a concert, and that's how good it is, and you want to stand up and applaud. I've just heard nothing but raves about the movie.
So Marissa did the interview. I was going to do it, but there was a time thing that played out, and I couldn't do it, and I was going to invoke another movie in the importance of the music in this movie, because I had seen an interview
with
him.
The A-Team.
Not the A-Team. It was Crazy Heart.
I knew you were going to say
Crazy
that.
Crazy Heart's great.
Yeah. And the music's great in that.
It's wonderful.
I'm not a country music fan, but the songs told some of the story of the character of the guy, and it was important that you paid attention to the lyrics of the songs, and it was great. So I figured that he might connect with that. And then, Marissa, you said the movie's just, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, there's actually no other score. The only music in the music is Gaga and Bradley Cooper singing the entire time. And they duet, and then it crosses and goes in. And just like you're saying, just like Crazy Heart, the music is so important to the movie and moves it along.
And the singing was recorded live as they were filming it. So adds another level of authenticity.
And very few sound effects, Marissa said.
Yes, she noticed that there was not a lot of Foley work.
Because I was confused.
Like, that was an actual doorknob turning.
Yeah.
No, those were the only ones. No, I was confused because at some point it was 6 o'clock and I heard bells ringing.
That's live, recorded at the movie.
And somebody had to tell me it was City Hall.
Oh, it was City Hall.
It was City Hall.
And they just rewound something.
Oh, they did, yeah. Is that, no sound effects.
And there's a golf ball.
Oh, man. It's amazing. Background and everything.
And that's Nick doing a Wookiee.
What the hell?
You made it into the movie. You made it through the cut.
I'm pretty excited.
Wow.
It's a cameo. It's a small scene.
Oh. I have to say, Nick, sorry.
No.
That we held some restraint because you clicked the other day, and we didn't ask for the audio to be
Well, it was a commercial click.
He's given his share of clicks.
They have to be live on air.
Was it a commercial click?
Yeah,
you were out of the studio.
Scheduled programming clicks are allowed.
I think we've given a moratorium on...
I think it was a Dunkin' spot.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden...
That's a national client. We don't want to embarrass them.
So, anyway, go ahead.
Wait a second. What was that sound that just came out of Nick? Sounded like some sort of like guttural thing, like a click.
Yeah. I'm not the only one, by the way.
No, of course not.
Whatever you do, by the way, Bradley, make them real sound effects.
Yeah. But that wasn't a movie. That was a natural click. It wasn't a sound effect click.
I didn't even hear it. Preston told me afterwards, and I'm so used to them. I was going to make a point about the movie, though, or a question, really. How do they shoot the concert scenes? Were they at actual shows, or?
Here, Marissa knows. Yeah, they were. They were in England, I think, right?
Yeah, they went to Glastonbury to shoot one of them, and he said that they actually, the crowd couldn't hear any of the music. Only the people in, like, the first five rows could actually hear it, because they were very protective.
Okay, yeah.
So they were telling everyone to
cheer. Must have been a great experience for the rest of the people.
Right. Then they did
Okay, here we go, Jack. Thing.
Bloody Yanks.
Bloody Yanks, you stupid.
Then they did another one at a private Gaga show before Coachella, and then they did another one at a Neil Young, Chris Christopherson, one of those country shows.
Okay.
So,
they did them in front of real audiences.
Okay.
Interesting. A couple other things for you. Papa Roach frontman Jacoby Shaddix spoke about the progress of the recording sessions for the follow-up to the band's 2017 album, Crooked Teeth. Shaddix said, "We played a bunch of tracks for our friends in Beartooth." There's a lot of tooth things going on.
Yeah, tons of teeth.
And some other folks last night, and everybody was feeling it. So it's exciting to play new music for people, and they're vibing it, so it's good.
I don't give a f***.
Shaddix confirmed that the band is working again with the producers who did Crooked Teeth.
Hold it a second, Preston.
Yeah.
Look out the window.
Oh, my God. There's some sun peeking out.
It worked.
How about that?
It worked. Thank you, dear God Almighty.
So he said we have 12 songs that are... He said there's bangers in there.
The bangers.
We're going to go back to do one more track and see if we can beat one of those songs. And we'll have a full-length record ready to go, and so either this year or early next year for a release. This is very interesting. Dave Grohl described his pre-show drinking routine in a new interview. Listen to this. So he says that...
Is it like Mark Wahlberg's workout routine?
It's kind of that. So he begins by taking 3 Advil an hour and a half before the showtime, and then it all gets a little crazy from there. He said, an hour before the gig, I have a Coors Light. About 50 minutes before the gig, I hit my first Jaeg, meaning Jägermeister. Finish the Coors Light, get another Coors Light going. Now there's a bunch of people around, so I'm throwing shots at everybody, and I'm taking shots with everyone in the room. The next Coors Light is down. I got a cold one. He says, now it's about maybe 20 minutes before going on. I've had 3 or 4 shots of Jaeger and 3 Coors Lights.
Jesus.
Then they sort of clear the room, and we get 15 minutes to ourselves. So then... It's all of us, and I feel guilty because I'm the only one who's been doing the shots of the Jaeg, so I start feeding shots of Jaeg to the rest of the band who are all drinking white wine and champagne or whatever.
Oh, my God, this is Marissa's routine.
He said, so I'm pounding them with Jaeg, but I have to take the shots with them. So now I'm 5 or 6 shots in, and it's like it's time to walk on stage. So I crack another beer just to have a cold one as I walk up, and I pick up the bottle and drink the last inch of the Jaeg. At one point, Grohl stopped to say, this is bad. This is how I've been spending every night of the last year and a half. And that's why I'm not scared of the Lord. I've seen worse. That's what he said. So,
well, and yet in all that time, he's, you know, he's never, there's no, has he ever had an issue
nah.
with?
He's only falling off the stage once. Yeah. Broke his leg.
So he'll do, I guess, you know, three beers and several shots, and then he's good to go. So you figure they're up there for an hour, hour
what
and a half.
Taylor?
Hour and a half or something like that. Yeah.
Taylor had substance
issues.
So I don't know if he's part of this party.
I don't know. I did see him backstage years and years and years ago. Y100 played the Feastival at the Wells Fargo Center, which was probably the first Union Center at that time. And he was walking around backstage, had a full bottle of Crown Royal.
Whoa.
You got to hand it to him, though. I mean, if he's drinking Jägermeister and Coors Light, he's not hoity-toitying it up. He's still being dude that he's always been.
And yet on stage, great.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
No problem.
Yeah, so cool. We'll do one more story. Slash and his band Miles Kennedy and Conspirators. We spoke to Slash yesterday. They have released a music video for Driving Rain featuring ragdoll puppets of the band and others in a combination of live action and animated adventure. The song is the first single from the new album Living the Dream, which was released on Friday. Slash said about the clip, the idea behind doing an animated video for Driving Rain is mostly due to the dark subject matter of the song influencing directors to come up with very dramatic, dark, and sullen regular live action treatments that weren't any fun at all. He says, no offense to those guys. So I wanted to create something that could be tongue-in-cheek and yet still be dark with live action animation. I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know what it's like.
Do you remember when your perception of a song would be influenced by the video? Because a lot of times that was the first. Like you would, it meant a lot, the imagery. Now it's less so.
Well, actually, I also thought, I think it takes away from the song a little bit. I didn't realize what a great song Sledgehammer was.
Right.
Because of the video.
The video got in the way.
Yeah, the video got in the way of how great of a song that was. Yeah, and also, Money for Nothing for Dire Straits. Yeah. I thought the same exact thing. When you hear it now, it's like, why didn't... I also was younger when those came out and maybe didn't appreciate the musicianship as much as I do now.
Right, right. Yeah. It's possible.
Or you listen to the lyrics, the song, and, oh, there's a story here. Miles Kennedy said, lyrically, this is a story about somebody who works on the road. It could be a musician. It could be a traveling salesman. What makes it interesting is the guy has an addict girlfriend or spouse who continues to relapse, and she ends up getting him to come home. She's miserable and falls back into bad old habits. And that compels him to head back to her to save the day. It was a bit of a dark song.
Yeah, very dark.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in music news this morning. We're going to take a break, and we have Autumn and Ellen who are on our hottie cam this morning. Autumn is our totally office calendar girl for the month of September, and Ellen worked at the insectarium, I found out.
Is that right?
Yes.
The same insectarium that was robbed?
She said it was a bit overblown
story-wise. Oh, it was an escape.
People had brought in some of the insects over time, and they were leaving, and they wanted to take them with them because they felt that they owned them, and so they...
Same old insect story.
And maybe they were saying, no, you can't. And they said, well, yeah, we can, and blah, blah, blah. And they just took all the stuff. But it was expensive, though, right? Yeah, okay.
All right.
All right, so you never know who you'll meet, man. She's an insectarian person.
I love it.
Never thought that would happen. You know what? Since we're talking about stuff like that, let's give away some passes to see Venom.
Yes.
Which falls in that whole Spider-Man universe, since we're talking about insects and so on.
Looks really good.
So let's take three callers for this movie next Wednesday at 7:30 at the UA King of Prussia, 215-263-WMMR. The movie doesn't hit theaters till the 5th, and we'll get you in before you can see it. So give us a call right now. We will take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Get ready to wrap the whole thing up. Stay with us.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at PresidentSteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
Burn me out, Chris Jericho and his band Fozzy on 93.3 WMMR. I do like those guys. 10:31. Wednesday morning, your midweek is moving along. And a little pep in your step will be $1,000, I would imagine. So Pierre's going to be in here shortly. And he will give you the official word that you'll need to send in to us via our WMMR app. And he'll do it in about a half hour at 11 o'clock. So your chance to win $1,000 is coming up yet again from the Preston and Steve show. A few thank yous to do. Thank you to Autumn and her friend Ellen being on our hottie cam this morning. And Ellen's month of September is moving along, too, in the Totally Office calendar. But you can spend as much time as you want with it while you have it. Thank you also to Stinger's Waterfront.
Yeah.
Being here this morning, providing some much-needed sustenance for us. And also you in the way of some gift cards that we gave away. But a reminder that Casey is doing the Bud Light Philly tour tomorrow night at Stinger's, and it will be from 7 to 9 p.m. They are in Ridley Park, and they're on Swarthmore Avenue, 401 Swarthmore, South Swarthmore.
Yeah.
Go by there and check them out. Your chance to win some tickets and more. That'll be tomorrow night from 7 to 9. Before we get Pierre on and the whole deal, who is in here, it is Eileen, intern Eileen's last day today.
No.
She's been with the President and Steve show for 9 months.
9 months.
And we would like to have her pop on. Some interns get to get on the mic from time to time. We'll ask them, you know, about anything that they might have some knowledge on. But we definitely want to make sure each and every single one of them at least gets on one time for sure.
I would just like to hear her voice because there's always food in her mouth.
She has, my mouth is usually full.
The most, she has a great appetite.
Yeah. You do love the free food.
I really hope that's my legacy. I hope every time a meet and eat comes in, you say, we used to have an intern, Eileen. She always used to eat.
Yes. That's, I like that. You enjoy it. You savor the food.
You know, you have to. A broke college student, you got to take every opportunity for free food. Free food and free t-shirts.
Totally.
This is like Nick's dream girl.
We went to the same camp, too.
Same camp, yeah.
Yeah, she's a taco girl, just like Marissa. And also, before you go, there's a charity event that you're involved with coming up. Do you want to give it a plug now?
I work at City Tap at Logan Square. I'm not really involved with it. I was helping out. I just joined the staff this summer, but they had a beloved bar manager that passed away a week or two ago, really tragically. And they're doing a beef and beer October 14th. And Nick helped me out with some donations for that.
Oh, very cool.
I sit in on the show and that kind of stuff. And the information's up on the community page, presidentsteve.com.
Yeah.
But while you were here, we figured give it a
thank you. I'll definitely let them know that it's on the podcast.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. So. Hey, are you still going to school? Or?
I'm at Temple University. I graduate hopefully in May.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So it's coming up. And what have you majored in?
You are my dream girl.
It's been 5 years.
What have you majored in?
I'm a broadcast journalism major with a sports management minor.
Okay.
So.
Yeah,
just like Pierre.
What does that mean for your future? What do you want?
I
want to
do something in sports radio. Am the only girl in the WHIP student-run radio sports department.
Really?
I'm the first girl to be on their football and broadcast teams.
She knows her stuff, too.
I'll actually be traveling to Boston this weekend to cover the game, Boston College versus Temple. So I went to Maryland this year, and I've been on every home broadcast as well as some of the away ones.
How about our friends down the hall at the Fanatic aware of you?
I dropped a little note to Marissa.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, they need to be.
But I do six hour long shows a week at school.
That's
Monday.
You know what? For a student, that's a fair amount of
broadcasting.
Monday is just Temple sports. Thursday, I do pro sports and Temple sports. And Friday, I do a 3-hour block of a mix of all three.
Okay.
So,
cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, I think you got a bright future ahead of
hopefully.
You.
Hopefully. If I ever graduate.
That's one key.
Anything stand out as fun from the internship here? Any moment or?
The food.
Never forget the food.
I love it.
But also, I don't know. It's just, I liked Keenan's, obviously. I think that was just like an unreal thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
I had the honor of like actually helping out with like Kathleen and Georgie and Adam and all you guys. But just in general, like, it made waking up at 5 a.m. enjoyable, and I always looked forward to coming in here. I just want to thank you guys all for the opportunity.
Our pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
I'm sad to be leaving.
We always ask who your favorite is.
Well, I mean, the way that you guys are setting me up, I guess Nick. I don't know. I think
that seems
you guys are
sincere.
All my favorite.
Okay.
I have kind of revealed that I'm a New York fan, so I don't think I can be anybody's favorite, especially Casey's.
No, you're from New York. It's okay.
Yeah.
When you're from that area.
My puppy a Giants leash and collar last night. So, I don't know. I think everybody.
Okay,
so
everybody.
I won't give a favorite.
It's diplomatic.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, listen, good luck to you.
Thank you.
And we're glad and we're so happy that you were able to help us out. So
yeah, thank you for having me. I'm sorry I hung around for a while.
It's all good. No, it's all good. Eileen, guys.
Another one. There she goes.
Off into the wild. Watch
her leave you.
Pierre Robert is indeed here. Howdy do, man. What's up?
Hi.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Yesterday I had thanked A.D. Amorosi for doing the article on our alumni party, which was Saturday night. And then it occurred to me, so I stopped at the Wawa as I'm driving home yesterday. And with Philly.com, oftentimes articles make both the Inquirer and the Daily News these days. So there's an Inquirer article which says Faces Old and New as MMR Celebrates 50, which was in yesterday's Life section.
Hmm.
And then today, actually yesterday too, it was WMMR, A Multitude of Spins for 50 Years. Same article, but different photos.
Okay.
Picture of me and a picture of John and some of the great moments from our 50th anniversary. So thanks again to A.D. Amorosi. Cool stuff.
Nice. Excellent.
We made the newspapers.
Why don't we do the letter of the day?
We did the letter of the day.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
I as in intellect.
All right. And we have two more letters to go, and we'll give away $500 from Sergeant Scrap, the Delaware Valley's original mobile service scrap company. Don't take crap for your scrap. SergeantScrap.com. So that's Friday. We will give that away. Feeling good today?
Feeling good.
All right. Ready to have a rip-roaring show?
Ready to have a rip-roaring show.
Fair enough. All right. What's coming up?
Feeling all right. Not feeling too good myself.
Feeling all right.
Not feeling too good myself, but feeling good myself. We'll have birthday bucks coming up at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. We'll have tickets for the Dave Matthews Band coming to the Big Joint December 11th, which go on sale not this Friday, but the following Friday. And some cool workforce blocks, among them Green Day and the Struts. And we didn't get our one-hit wonders yesterday because Pancake wasn't around. Yesterday was one-hit wonders day, so we might do that today.
All right. I love one-hit wonders. That's awesome.
What's your favorite?
Man, that's a tough one. I when I think one-hit wonders, I immediately go to the 1980s because
so
it was so chock full.
Right.
Of one-hit wonders, and the first one that pops to mind is probably Dexy's Midnight Runners and Come On, Eileen. I mean, that's just that's the first one that pops into my head.
It's weird because, well, years ago when I, you know, was at DRE in New York, which we got DRE down here, and I used to do imaging, comedy imaging for the station, and it was, you know, more artists with less greatest hits albums than any other station. You know what I've been listening to a lot? And I don't know if it qualifies as a one hit or, but Mazzy Star's Fade Into You.
That's a great song. I love that song.
Here's another one. The Walls Came Down from The Call.
Great song.
Yes.
I great love song. That song. I mean, they did have another one, but, you know, the one hit wonder's a relative term. They didn't have a big successful
right.
career.
Right,
but they
right.
did have one song that really broke out.
Kaja Goo Goo.
Oh,
Too Shy.
Shy Shy. Shy Shy.
Da
da. Bye to bye.
Yeah.
But I.
Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye bye.
Whatever the hell it is.
On the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Too Shy Shy. Da 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 da. Bye.
Hush hush. Eye to eye.
Whatever.
Okay. Oh, it's bye to eye?
I thought it was bye to bye.
Hush hush. Eye to eye. Yeah.
Oh. Yep. I always thought it was IUI.
I am cry.
It was huge. We actually played it on MMR.
Now, I know MMR's played a lot of stuff, but that one's a bit of a stretch.
We
wow.
played that. We played okay. Thompson Twins. We played all kinds of interesting things through the 80s. But I think of Norman Greenbaum, Spirit in the Sky. I go
great
back
song.
To the 70s.
Great song.
And he's from my little hometown outside of San Francisco, Petaluma.
Mm-hmm.
And so Norman Greenbaum is my first one. I hear one hit wonder, my mind goes there.
Manfred mm-hmm. Mann? No, Manfred Mann had a...
Had
well,
a
their,
had a
their biggest hit was Blinded by the Light, the cover.
Right. And then they had I Came For You and a couple of others.
Right.
But iRobot.
Right, right. Yep. iRobot, that was Alan Parsons.
Alan Parsons, I'm sorry, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be like you.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah. So
was that Man for Man?
Remember that.
I get lost in those kind of slight prog bands sometimes. And Man for Man and
Alan Parsons Project.
Alan Parsons Project, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll That's see where stuff. We go. We'll have some fun with it at any rate. And, you know, there's like Debbie Boone, You Light Up My Life.
That's a one hit. It's a terrible hit, but it's one. And
it was massive, though.
It was huge.
Yeah. It was from a movie.
We're going to do the Slayer version later on.
Yes.
Yeah. It will. It's sick.
Sick.
Ladies and gentlemen,
It's one hit wonders. It's going to be sick.
Exactly.
I'm going to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts and the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'.
Yeah.
Also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show, and Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Tomorrow we will have on the show from Fox 29, Richard Curtis. You remember him? He was from Live with Kelly.
Yes.
He was the guy who won the co-hosting job. Well, he's got a game show.
Yeah, I saw that.
That starts on Monday on Fox 29. So he's going to come in tomorrow morning. And Casey, I can't read your handwriting.
It's Grant Schoed.
Oh, Grant Schoed from Murphy Brown.
Yeah, yes.
Local guy. We had him here in the studio.
Conestoga High School.
And now they're redoing Murphy Brown, so he's got to be excited about
it's
that.
Debuting soon. I think it's Thursday night.
Yeah, it's tomorrow night. Yep.
So I have those and more tomorrow morning. And look, the sun is shining.
Yeah!
Kenwood. I love
all because of you.
That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
It won't stop f***ing ringing.
Next message.
Everybody's hating on Brady. Let's be honest. It's pretty f***ing funny. He fell on the ice. He danced with some kids. He kissed a girl and he kissed again and he gave her a dream. That's hilarious. He shot someone with a t-shirt gun. And everybody's talking about it. This is a great PR move by the Flyers team.
Next message.
If you live in a house that has a storm sewer nearby and you see it's full of f***ing leaves, go out there and clean it out, dead s***.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.